Of. A gift from Thinkertoys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinkertoys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinkertoys is open daily.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Getting on down the road for the last big holiday of the summer.
I get your kicks on Route 66. Now you go through St. Louis.
Now here's what I want to know. On this big holiday travel weekend, why would everybody want to be traveling with their uncle?
I'm Lou Miliano, and look at this traffic. You think everyone and his uncle was getting an early start on the three-day weekend. And you'd be close. AAA says of the 35 million traveling at least 50 miles from home, 30 million will do it here on the roadways. Their numbers are up 1.2%, with fewer people flying. AAA says their numbers are down 100,000 from last year. The Travel Club credits the hassles and time of increased airport security and lower gas prices. Lou Miliano, CBS News, New York.
A few million people populate the airports.
En route.
Carrying no liquids, mind you.
We're headed to Atlanta, Georgia, then taking another plane to Mississippi to visit our grandparents.
Fly safe, young man. It's like a good old-fashioned summertime gully washer of a thunderstorm on steroids. Tropical Depression, Ernesto. CBS's Jennifer Miller is in Ocean City, Maryland, taking a page from Dan Rather's old playbook.
It feels a lot stronger than 40, 45 miles an hour when we are out at the Dunes Manor Hotel, and I'm being blocked right now by the hotel and by a fence. Take a look what happens. I'm going to back up. This is the wind.
Windy. In the west and south along the Mexican coast, it's a very angry-looking Hurricane John, only partly ashore at Los Cabos in Baja.
They bought a lot of food supplies. We have a lot of candles and then the radios, water. We are we are here waiting.
Mario Mino. She's at Casa Pablito. This year's hurricane season is now expected to be less than half of what we saw last year.
We're predicting a below-average October, but a little above-average coming month now.
That's William Gray at Colorado State University. 28 named storms last year, 13 forecast this year, only 5 to become hurricanes. The FDA says today the mercury in silver dental fillings won't hurt you. They reviewed 34 recent studies on the subject. Charles Brown at Consumers for Dental Choice doesn't believe them.
If you look at the science instead of the politics, any mercury exposure is overwhelmingly dangerous.
The debate evidently not over. U.S. world basketball team supposed to be unbeatable, right? That's the rep. After all, they're NBA players. Fact is, last time the U.S. won in world competition was 2000 at the Olympics. The U.S. has been eliminated from contention for gold in the World Games by Greece, the defending world champ. And Greece has not one NBA player on the squad. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 83 points. NASDAQ up more than 9 today. This is CBS News.
Can you guess what that sound is? Let me help you out. It's a jail cell door getting slammed shut after you've been booked for DUI. Don't think you'll get caught? Think again. Officers are cracking down from coast to coast this month. So listen up. If you drive impaired, you will pay. Drunk driving. Over the limit. Under arrest. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Transportation. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Keep your car running right and save money today. Get to AutoZone now and change your oil and filter every 3 months or 3,000 miles. Now, for a limited time at AutoZone, you can get 5 quarts of Pennzoil conventional motor oil and a Fram oil filter for only $12.99. That's right, just $12.99. See store for details. Don't send your engine to an early grave. Get to AutoZone, change your oil, and get more life out of your car.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
How are you to know about the bad doctors out there? That's actually a good question. Wish we had an answer for you. CBS's Jim Shetterby on the scope of the problem.
According to a report from the watchdog group Public Citizen, doctors who commit crimes rarely face harsh professional punishment. Now, we're talking everything from insurance fraud to prescription violations. The report did find that doctors convicted of violent crimes generally face harsh professional discipline, such as having their licenses revoked, but there are still lots of docs with serious criminal records out there practicing. Jim Shenavy, CBS News.
Hats off to police officer Norvin Anderson in St. Francis, Kansas. He's been in law enforcement for 37 years, and he turns 80 years young in December. His police chief says he has no qualms about sending a senior citizen in response to crime. Chief Troy Gardner says Officer Anderson is in better shape than many of his much younger officers. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
CompUSA email bag.
Wendy emails, "Dear CompUSA, got any plans for Labor Day? Big plans, Wendy, starting with this Friday's Midnight Madness. Tons of amazing deals from 6 p.m. to midnight, like a compact laptop with Turion 64 processor, 512 megs of memory, 80 gig hard drive, and ATI graphics card for under $600 after rebates. That's $180 off. Come enjoy all the savings this Friday till midnight at CompUSA. We got it, we get it. See store for details."
You trust your car and your tires to take you where you want to go. So who do you trust to take care of your tires? Sears Auto Centers. To come in right now, all tires are on sale from all the top brands, including Goodyear, Michelin, and Bridgestone. All tires, all on sale. If you've got places to go, make sure you're going to the place that takes care of your car, your tires, and you. Sears Auto Centers. See store for details. Exclusions apply. Sale ends 9606.
The following program has been previously recorded.
So, what do you say? You ready for another war? All you got to do is change the Q to an N. You're all set. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. We do this every weekday. I'm glad you're tuned in. If you'd like to call the program, lines are available, 888-5-PETER-B. You can also email me, humblehost@peterbcollins.com. Last week, after the federal judge in Detroit ruled against the Bush administration in the ACLU National Security Administration lawsuit, we talked to James Bamford, the man who's written two powerful books about the National Security Agency, and he agreed to return to our program today to spend this hour with us to talk about a powerful article that he published in Rolling Stone at the end of July called Iran, the Next War. Jim Bamford, welcome back to our program today.
Thanks, Peter.
First of all, just a follow-up on the NSA story. In our first hour today, we were reviewing the media coverage. And, of course, the NSA story got blocked out by the phony coverage of this guy who claims he killed JonBenet Ramsey. But what we did review was a two-minute clip from the ABC World News Tonight with Charles Gibson, where you were quoted. And where they brought on no, top electeds or other people to really challenge the administration talking points, Tony Snow and others, that this is just a necessary element of our national security.
Well, that's right. You know, you got to get your priorities straight here, JonBenet or NSA nationwide eavesdropping. So. I was glad at least ABC devoted a couple of minutes to it.
Yeah, the other networks, according to Media Matters, gave it 25 seconds about.
Yeah, it's in the business known as a tell as opposed to a story.
Right, yeah, an anchor read, maybe. So I want to spend some time here talking about this article that you wrote about the situation focused on Iran. And you've brought a lot of new information here and connected some dots, proverbial dots. What I had not seen prior to your article, Jim Bamford, is the connection between the case of Larry Franklin, who was an employee at the Defense Department, actually the DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, and he was implicated in this case of passing classified information to representatives of AIPAC, the American-Israeli Political Action Committee. And this really really puts it in a context and a perspective that helps us understand what was going on. Because honestly, that just seemed like an unrelated freelance type event, and I was unable to connect it. So let's take a couple of minutes here and explain the connection between the prosecution of Larry Franklin and his desire to goad the Bush administration into action against Iran sooner and, with more oomph.
Well, Larry Franklin was actually assigned to the Defense Intelligence Agency, worked for the DIA, but he was on an assignment to the Pentagon, and where he worked was the Office of Special Plans. That was the place that was run by largely by the neocons, by Doug Fife and so forth. And their main goal back in 2002, they had two main goals. One of them was launching a war against Iraq, which ended up happening, and at the same time they were working on pushing for a war in Iran. It was all part of this big game plan that the neocons had had for years, at least since 96 when they came up with this thing called the Clean Break Plan, which encompassed basically the same type of a war, except that Israel would launch it instead of the United States. So it was the same people, Doug Fife, David Wilmser, who became the Middle East advisor to Cheney, and then Richard Pearl, who became head of the Defense Policy Board. They all took their positions in the Bush Pentagon.
Mm-hmm. And Jim Bamford, you say that they refer to themselves as the cabal. Lawrence Wilkerson, who was Colin Powell's number two, first brought that phrase forward, and I thought it was a Powell phrase that was critical of the Cheney-Rumsfeld Office of Special Plans nexus.
Well, they apparently thought it was something that was apparently both accurate and also something that they enjoyed using, because they called themselves that voluntarily. It wasn't something that was put on them.
Wow.
But this cabal of people who were involved in pushing for wars throughout the Middle East, starting with Iraq and then moving on to Iran, one of the key players in that was Larry Franklin. Larry Franklin was the Iran expert. That's why they brought him in there. They brought him in there for two reasons. One, because he ideologically he was very much a neoconservative, and he was an expert on Iran. So while some of the group were pushing hard on the war in Iraq, Larry Franklin and some of the others were pushing hard for war in Iran. And Larry Franklin, one of the people he connected with in there was Michael Adeen, who goes way back to the old Reagan administration, involved with scandals and the Iran-Contra affair.
Well, and let's hold off on him and Ghorbanifar, because that's worth spending some time on by itself. I'd like to ask you to describe that this occurred just after Bush's State of the Union address, when he laid out the phony claim about Niger and Iraq's attempt to get yellowcake uranium from there. And you describe this remarkable scene at the Ritz-Carlton in Washington, a meeting of Larry Franklin, Stephen Rosen from AIPAC, and Keith Weissman, who is AIPAC's Iran expert. And incredibly, you report that the entire thing was captured on tape by the FBI. Now, why wouldn't Larry Franklin know about that and be smart enough to have a meeting like this in a car or at a metro station?
Well, I think they all thought that this was, okay. I think they thought that what they were doing was fine. They didn't realize that the FBI had been conducting a secret investigation of AIPAC since at least 99, maybe 98, something like that. So for a number of years, they had been focusing on AIPAC because they suspected AIPAC of espionage, basically, passing information, top secret information, on to Israel, which is actually what was happening. So they were, the FBI was focusing on AIPAC, and they were particularly focusing on Rosen and Weissman, the two people that were attending that breakfast meeting at the Ritz-Carlton. And that's when Larry Franklin walks in. They didn't really have any idea that Larry Franklin was involved in any of this until that happened. And then they taped the phone, breakfast meeting. They had a secret recording.
Mm-hmm.
And it was rather extraordinary because the AIPAC people, these are people that work for a lobby, the Israeli lobby, and they were proposing to Franklin that basically he be their spy and that they put him in the White House.
Now, this is breathtaking, James Bamford, because when I read this, I thought, wow, if I want to serve on the National Security Council, all I got to do is get AIPAC to nominate me?
Well, that's what they were saying. They were saying, we want to put you, and this is the exact quote that the FBI taped, we want to put you at the elbow of the president in the National Security Council, where all the secrets are sort of the nexus for all the secrets and the national security information in the White House. So there were two reasons. One of them was traditional old espionage, getting information. But a second reason was, in essence, far more sinister. What they wanted to do was change U.S. policy secretly and covertly and illegally for their own purposes. And that's one of the reasons they wanted Franklin in there, was to put pressure on the president, basically, on the White House. And Franklin had the same idea. Franklin was disappointed because the White House was siding on its Iran policy more with Colin Powell at the State Department than it was with the hardliners and neoconservatives in the Office of Special Plans at the Pentagon.
Now, quoting from your article in Rolling Stone, unwilling to play by the rules any longer, Franklin was taking the extraordinary and illegal step of passing on highly classified information to lobbyists for a foreign state. Unable to win the internal battle over Iran being waged within the administration, a member of Feith's secret unit in the Pentagon was effectively resorting to treason, recruiting AIPAC to use its enormous influence to pressure the president into adopting the draft directive and wage war against Iran. This is amazing, Jim.
Yeah, what you have is a small group of people, the cabal, as they call themselves, working for their own benefit, their own ideological purposes, not that of the United States, but that of Israel largely, to push for an American war, a war, you know, like the war in Iraq, that it wasn't Israelis who were going to die, it was going to be Americans who were going to die. It was going to be a war that they wanted to be the follow-on to the war in Iraq. Again, you know, these people all thought that the war in Iraq would be over within a few weeks.
Right.
And we would put in Ahmad Chalabi as the president, sort of their puppet as president of Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we launched the war in March of 2003. By June, we're all ready for a new war. Move on to Iran. I mean, that was the original plan. So back in 2002, 2003, when they were having these meetings, that was the way that they were working on this. They were pushing for this this new war, the war in Iran.
We got to take a break. We'll return with James Bamford. We're talking about his article in Rolling Stone, 24th of July, 2006. As we continue, we're going to bring up names like Chalabi, you heard, Michael Ledeen, Gorbanifar, and some of the other murky players who are apparently part of the Bush network. That's all coming up as we continue. Your calls and comments are welcome. Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff, caring Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Hello? Hello? What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock, roll, and real estate. Every Sunday morning at 10, Rock, Roll, and Real Estate gives you the best information on first-time home buyers, 1031 exchanges, investment strategies, exit strategies, and where the next hot real estate markets are. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, where you're buying ahead of the curve. Every Sunday morning at 10.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Volkswagen GTI, which VW dubs the new GTI. The GTI is a two-door hatchback that seats five, though it's not so easy for an adult to get in and out of the back seat. The 2-liter four-cylinder engine is turbocharged and fuel-injected, and with a six-speed manual transmission, it delivers plenty of power and acceleration without too much torque. It's very responsive with a sports suspension that really holds the road. The base price of $22,000 includes an impressive array of features and accessories, including air conditioning, power steering, and a 6-CD changer that plays MP3s. But the final price creeps up near $30,000 with a navigation system and satellite radio added in. By the numbers, the 2006 VW new GTI gets 25 miles in the city, 31 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $28,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Saturday, September 2nd, live in Monterey, it's Stephanie Miller.
If you look at Katrina, it goes more toward the theory that they're just disastrously incompetent.
No.
But then if you look at Iraq, you're like, they're disastrously incompetent and they lied.
One of the fastest rising stars in progressive talk radio, Stephanie Miller, is appearing live Saturday, September 2nd at Monterey's Casa Munras Hotel. Tickets are just $45. Go to MontereyCountyDemocrats.org or call 758-9503. That's 758-9503.
All right, time for a look at traffic. Mountain View North, 101 on the Rengsdorf Ave off-ramp. You have an accident. Three vehicles involved. Also San Jose, South 85 on the Blossom Hill Road off-ramp. A crash. A vehicle spun out there, and the ramp is blocked. And then right before Blossom Hill Road, look out for that ladder. It's blocking the right lane. San Jose, South 87 on the Almaden off-ramp. You do have an accident on the shoulder. Two cars involved there. And if you're making your way through SoCal, SoCal Park Ave at SoCal Drive, we do have an accident. Two cars involved. They may be blocking the intersection there. Traffic comes courtesy of Hyundai. Save big on every Hyundai car and SUV at the Hyundai Challenge Summer Clearance. It's the best time to get the best deals of the year now at your Hyundai dealer. I'm Betty Black with traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 22 minutes past the hour. And we're talking with journalist James Bamford. The article we're referencing was published in Rolling Stone at the end of July. It's called Iran, the Next War. And as we continue, Jim, I want to circle back to some of the characters you started to mention in the first segment. Michael Ledeen is a very interesting fellow who, as you point out, was a member of the cabal brought aboard by Douglas Feith because of his connections in Iran. And Ledeen has history back during the Reagan and Bush 1 years with the Iran-Contra affair. And it ties into some just great human beings like Manukar Gobranafar, arms trader of some notoriety. And this is kind of a flashback to the Ali North days, isn't it?
It's both a flashback and a flash forward, because you have all this going back to the 1980s, the Reagan administration. The worst scandal of the Reagan administration was the Iran-Contra affair, and the key people involved in it was Oliver North, Michael Ledeen, and Manachar Zafar,
mm-hmm.
who was a Iranian merchant, basically, who had been labeled by the actually branded by the CIA as a fabricator, their term for a con man. So that led to this huge scandal in the Reagan administration, and then all of a sudden, here you have the Bush administration, and it's the same duo, Ghulbanifar and Ladeen, that get hired by the Pentagon to get together and do basically what you have here is the same thing as you had in Iraq. In Iraq, you had the Bonifar character was Ahmed Chalabi.
Yeah.
And here you had Ghulbanifar. In Iraq, you had Chalabi bringing all these Iraqis who had all these phony stories to tell. And
are you talking about Curveball?
Curveball and all the rest.
Yeah.
And then you had the same thing happening in with regard to Iran. You had Ladeen and Ghulbanifar. They had the secret meeting with the senior Pentagon officials in Rome, where they brought all these Iranians together, and they all came up with phony stories.
Mm-hmm.
So you had sort of a dual track going on at virtually the same time. You had Chalabi and his defectors pumping up the phony atmosphere for a war in Iraq, and at the same time you had Ghulbanifar Ladeen and other members of the Pentagon cabal, pumping up for a lot of phony information for a war in Iran.
Some journalists have suggested that Ladeen was at least a contact for the information that came out of Italy's Secret Service that misled us into believing, or at least that the allegation was made, about the yellow cake from Niger being sought by Iraq. Have you ever been able to firm that up? Is Ladeen the guy who brought that information to the Bush administration?
Well, no. He's got a lot of common denominators. That's what makes it so interesting. First of all, this all originated in Italy, and Ladeen has been an Italian expert most of his life. He spent a lot of time over there. The story first surfaced in the Italian magazine Panorama, and Ladeen wrote for Panorama. The story served a purpose, which was to demonize Saddam Hussein and encourage the U.S. to get involved in a war, and that was largely what Ladeen's agenda was. But beyond that, I haven't seen any direct evidence showing that he was the man behind the Niger documents.
Okay. Now, our listeners know about MEK. Larissa Alexandrovna, who writes for Raw Story, has been on our program and has chronicled for us the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, K-H-A-L-Q, which is an anti-Iranian guerrilla army operating out of Iraq. And her sources and others have indicated to us that MEK has been kind of reflagged by the U.S. and sent in as mercenaries into Iran. Have you confirmed that?
Well, that was what the neocons had wanted at first. They were looking at the MEK in the same way that they were looking at the INC, the Iraqi National Congress, a group of Iraqi National Congress were a group of anti-Saddam Iraqis that were looking to overthrow the country of Iraq. And
well, one of the differences, the INC was something that was invented at the Rendon Group, a PR firm retained by the Pentagon.
That's right. That was the last article I did for Rolling Stone, was sort of the largest article the first really major article on the Rendon Group.
And yes, it was. It was fascinating.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I won the National Magazine Award for reporting for that, so I was very happy about that.
All right, let's stop there. The break's coming, and I can't stop it, Jim. So we'll return in a moment and try to connect some of these dots and explain to our listeners how the pattern that led us into Iraq is largely being repeated, and the goal is to lead us into some sort of conflict with Iran. We'll pick up there as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines open if you'd like to talk with me and Jim Bamford, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372, toll free.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Valley.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hello? Hello? What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Meet the folks of IPX 1031. When you're selecting a qualified intermediary to assist you for your next exchange, think IPX 1031. Call them at 888-771-1031. That's this week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
You now on the Peter B. Collins Show. I remain your humble host, Peter B. You can email me, humblehost@peterbcollins.com. Talk is dangerous.
We continue our conversation with investigative journalist and author James Bamford. As I've told you, he wrote the books about the National Security Agency. His first was in 1982, The Puzzle Palace, and he followed up in 2004 with A Pretext for War. And Jim Bamford continues with us this hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Returning now to the narrative in your article published at the end of July in Rolling Stone, Jim, let's pick up with Michael Ledeen, his meetings with Ghorbanifar, and what Kurt Weldon was told about and then kind of exposed, because Weldon is a very conservative pro-military congressman from Pennsylvania, and I don't agree with him on much, but he has come to, at least in some circumstances, he has recognized that some of the whistleblowers, like Tony Schaefer with Able Danger, our friend Sabelle Edmonds from the FBI, and others, have important information that should be available at least to members of the Intelligence Committee, if not the wider American public. So in my book, Weldon is not a black and white figure. But he was approached, and there was a code name Ali. Tell us about Ali.
Well, Ali was the person that he said was his secret source that came up with all this information. It was largely looking at how dangerous Iran was. And again, it was more fuel for the fire of those who were pushing for the U.S. to take military action for regime change in Iran.
So people who wanted to fix a policy around some intelligence?
Right. If they wanted something to point their finger at as a reason for going in, just like we pointed our finger at the whole issue, phony issue, as it turned out, of WMD in Iraq.
Well, and apparently at the news conference today, the president actually confronted that head on and said there were no WMD. Even though 50% of the American public believes there were.
Yeah, and just think how many people would now be alive and how much more money the United States would have and how much more likely would be around the world if he had simply let the inspectors continue their work and found out before we sent the troops in that there weren't any weapons there. So anyway, that's what Weldon was came up with a book, and one of the key people in his book was this secret source that was giving him this information. Well, it turns out, lo and behold, the secret source was a good friend and collaborator largely of Manager Ghorbanifar. The same con man, the same guy that the CIA had declared as a fabricator, that the Pentagon and Ledeen were using to push their war in Iran. So, again, you have this similar circumstance where you had a con man, Ahmed Chalabi, and pushing for war for his own purposes, and those of the neocons in Iraq, and you had Ghorbanifar and his associates pushing for this war in Iran.
And I'm sorry to say that Ahmed Chalabi will return to this sordid narrative in a moment. But you note that Ledeen notified the Pentagon at one point that Ghorbanifar knew of highly enriched uranium being moved from Iraq to Iran. At another point in '03, he claimed that Tehran was only a few months away from exploding a nuclear device, even though international experts estimate that Iran is years away now from developing such a weapon. So these are pretty egregious failures of intelligence being passed along by Ledeen, and this is what is so consistent with the pre-Iraq run-up, that they were cherry-picking information, feeding it to Judy Miller, to Dick Cheney for reinforcement on a Sunday morning Meet the Press episode, and all this was very carefully orchestrated using information that we now know to be phony, and I believe they knew it was phony at the time.
Sure, and that's what people are very well aware of the Iraq side of it, and that's what I was writing about here, was that there was this other Iran side. And what makes this Iran side even more interesting was that it was illegal. I mean, they actually broke the law. Larry Franklin has pled guilty and been sentenced to 12 years in prison, and he was the Iran expert in the for the cabal and the Office of Special Plans and Vice Office. So that's very serious, and the AIPAC people are now facing trial. They're scheduled to go on trial, I think, sometime in the fall, and Larry Franklin's agreed to turn state's evidence to testify against them. So this is you know, in terms of legality, this is far more serious because you're having serious laws, espionage and everything else broken here.
Mm-hmm. Now, in addition to Franklin, you talk about Chalabi, who we talked about earlier, who was the head of this phony Iraqi National Congress. He's a guy who's been indicted for bank fraud in Jordan, I believe. And Chalabi was largely discredited and kind of cast aside when it became clear that we couldn't install him as our handpicked leader in Baghdad. And then there was this bizarre event in, it was in 2004, in May of that year, that Iraqi police and American soldiers raided Chalabi's home in Baghdad. What was the reason for that raid, and what were they suspecting Chalabi of doing?
Well, it's extremely interesting because here Chalabi was the person that the neocons have been grooming for a decade or so to be the next president of Iraq. It was going to be their puppet president of Iraq. And he was a person, you know, obviously he wanted that and he wanted the war, and he'd been pushing, using a lot of phony defectors, pushing for it. Now it turns out the FBI was looking into him as possibly being involved, like Franklin, in a serious espionage case. The espionage involved was that somebody had found out that the NSA, the National Security Agency, had broken the Iranian diplomatic code, the secret communications or the secret encryption system they were using to hide the information they were sending from Tehran to Baghdad and other places. Well, somebody told the Iranian government that the U.S. had broken the code, and then the Iranians obviously changed it all, which meant that NSA all of a sudden went deaf on one of the most serious countries in the Middle East. And they were looking to how this happened, and they began focusing on, as one of their prime suspects, Ahmed Chalabi. Because he was very close to the Iranian government. He had a big house up there. And they found that he had a secret meeting with some of the Iranians. And so they raided his house looking for evidence. And as I report in the Rolling Stone article, the FBI was extremely interested in questioning him about his involvement in this. The problem was that the Bush administration was refusing to allow the FBI to interview Chalabi even when he came to the United States. He came to the United States back in November of last year, and the FBI was all prepared to question him. And according to my sources in the FBI, they were prohibited from doing that because he was being protected by the State Department while he was here. And the State Department said they couldn't question him without getting the permission of his people, and his people weren't giving the FBI permission to question him. So mm-hmm. it's a really bad situation. What the bottom line is, if the FBI is right, is that we got into this war as basically a con job. The Iranians wanted to get rid of their worst neighbor, the government of Iraq, mm-hmm. who they had an 8-year war with. It was their biggest fear, and here they accomplished it without any cost to them. They got the United States to come in, get rid of Saddam, overthrow the country, and make it safe for the Shiites, the Iranians, basically, to come in and largely reoccupy the country with a lot of the people friendly to their government.
So. And in one swell swoop, Bush got us mired into a situation that advances the goals of key enemies like Al-Qaeda and Iran.
Well, that's the big irony. Here was the neocons, whose biggest fear was Iran. They use Chalabi, who all along may have been an Iranian agent, and ends up making the country... actually ends up making both Iran and Hezbollah and the Shiites in Iraq all more powerful than ever when they started.
We're talking with James Bamford, and the article we're discussing is in the late July issue of Rolling Stone magazine. Jim, let me cite here your final paragraph, because I think it's important. The shift in official policy has thrilled former members of the cabal. To them, the war in Lebanon represents the final step in their plan to turn Iran into the next Iraq. Ladeen, writing in the National Review July 13th, could hardly restrain himself. Faster, please, he urged the White House, arguing that the war should now be taken over by the U.S. military and expanded across the entire region. The only way we're going to win this war is to bring down those regimes in Tehran and Damascus, and they're not going to fall as a result of fighting between their terrorist proxies in Gaza and Lebanon on the one hand and Israel on the other. Only the United States can accomplish it, he concluded. There is no other way. So this is very clearly, when we put your work together with Seymour Hersh and others we've talked to, Colonel Sam Gardner, Larissa Alexandrovna, it's a very clear message that the Bush administration has an action plan that they want to implement that would involve military operations against Iran. Now, Hersh tells us that the generals at the Pentagon persuaded the Bush administration to pull a nuclear option off the table, but it doesn't seem that they've even tried to persuade them to cancel this intended operation altogether.
Well, no, and the Bush administration has really geared up the military for a quick strike if they want to. They've got the military now on what's basically a hair trigger, so that if the president decides to launch an invasion of Iraq, launch an invasion of Iran, they could do it within less than a day. They could have all the bombers flying towards Iran. At the same time, they can have them air refueled and bomb the country and come back within the same day the order is given.
Yeah. And it just seems like very similar to Iraq, the breathtaking hubris, the arrogance of the Bush administration is that we can attack Iran and there will be no significant consequences. And I just find that mind-boggling.
Well, that's the fantasy. This is the fantasy of people who spent their entire life writing memos back to themselves on K Street and writing long, almost unreadable treatises in think tank publications about going to war. People who have never put on a uniform, people who have never seen a gun fired, people who have never been on a battlefield. That's what these neocons are. They're the people who come up with these wars. They go put them into operation, let other people die, let their other people get their legs blown off. And if it doesn't go well, they just get a golden parachute, like going over and taking over the World Bank, or like Fife going off and writing a book, or whatever. I mean, they to them, you know, if they win, fine. If they lose, well, go on to something else.
Jim, as we head into a break here, take a listen to this little music bit I'm going to play. It's from a new album by Michael Fronte and Spearhead, and it makes the point that you just stated. It's called Time to Go Home. And those who start wars never fight them.
Those who start wars never fight them. Those who fight wars never like them.
We'll go to the phones in the next segment. If you'd like to join us with James Bamford, 888-5-PETER-B, toll free. That's 888-5-PETER-B.
I can recite them. And those of us who just fight lost, we live and die them.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
They never gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something?
tell you what I got cooking, Dinners Ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinners Ready?
That's right, Dinners Ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Tom Hartman. Now, I've got serious problems about the integrity of voting machines, but my bigger problem, and this is the issue that nobody's talking about, that we all should be talking about, is that the voting machines are owned not by us, but by private corporations.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
Privatizing the vote is a felony against democracy. There's no other way to describe it. I want the corporations out of my vote.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Alrighty, let's take a look at traffic now as you're making your way out there. We have a couple of problems. We begin in Monterey, northbound 1 at Casa Verde. We have a car and a motorcycle involved in a crash. Lanes are blocked there. You're going to find heavy traffic through that area. Gilroy, 156 at 152. We have an accident reported. And in Castroville, Highway 156 south of Castroville, traffic lights are stuck on red, causing a huge backup. A large truck that attempted to make a U-turn got stuck and may be blocking lanes there. Save big on every Hyundai car and SUV at the Hyundai Challenge Summer Clearance. It's the best time to get the best deals of the year now at your Hyundai dealer. I'm Betty Black with traffic on KRXA 540.
Continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I have to confess that I lost track of time during that break, and I hope all our stations have rejoined the program by now. You should have. We continue with investigator and journalist James Bamford, the guy who wrote the books about the National Security Administration, the NSA, and we've been talking this hour about this powerful piece that connects a lot of the dots about the murky pre-war run-up. And we're talking about the next war, not the last one, the war with Iran. And, Jim, as you look at this, based on the recent experience of Israel in Lebanon, is the U.S. chastened at all at the idea that air power alone could prevail over Iran?
Well, I think that certainly was one of the key messages that came out of this Israeli invasion of Lebanon. They thought originally that they could just... You know, same type of misconception the U.S. had in Iraq. It'll be over in a couple of weeks. They thought that by sending air power only into Lebanon, they could wipe out the Hezbollah and the whole thing would be over without sending a single troop into Lebanon and be over within a few weeks. And all they ended up doing by sending the air power in there was killing 1,000 civilians, most of them women and children, and destroying billions of dollars worth of infrastructure, apartment buildings, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And when they went to send the land forces in, they barely got over the border. They could barely take a minor village, and when they did, it cost, at one point, I think it cost 25 lives. And
at Bin Jabal, yeah.
And then at another point, after they left to take over another village, they lost that village. So,
mm-hmm. Well, that's the Fallujah strategy that's been so good for the U.S.
Right, exactly. You take it one day and cost of all these lives, both U.S. and Lebanese lives in Lebanon or else Iraqi lives in Iraq, and it only lasts for as long as you have the troops to sustain it. And how long can you have troops having troop strength in every single town and village in either Iraq or Lebanon.
Mm-hmm. Jim, let's take a call. Dave's on the line from Humboldt this afternoon. Dave, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter and Jim, I had feared initially that we might not be in agreement, but as I'm listening to you more and more, we may be. I conclude that our purposes for invading and occupying in the Middle East is simply the fact that it is extremely profitable to this little PNAC Carlyle group that planned it out and deceived us into these wars. So there is no noble purpose, no noble intent. This is very lucrative to Halliburton and Bechtel and a few of the other General Electric and corporations that are profiting trillions of dollars out of the treasury of the United States into their pockets. That's their purpose. That's my conclusion.
All right, Jim, your reaction?
Well, I think it's less over oil than it is over ideology, because if you look at what they have been writing all these years, they really weren't focused so much on the oil aspect of it as they were on the ideological aspect of it. These are neoconservatives, and the thing that they were interested in all along was protecting Israel, putting Israel at the in the forefront, and I think oil was probably a factor, but I think it was one or two steps back.
Well, for me, it would be naive to conclude that the shift of wealth from the treasury of the United States into the pockets of this little Carlyle group and PNAC group is, I think that's not just a coincidence. It's very profitable to them. And that's,
well, I think one way to find out is by having a change in political parties in the Congress in November, and then start having some investigations.
Yes,
now, the problem is we've got a war going on that 60% of the people are against, and that was brought on by a lot of lies and deceit, and we haven't had one really significant investigation into this entire debacle.
You're right.
Thank you, guys.
Dave, thanks for the call today.
Let's try to get our hands on some honest voting machines and see if we can accomplish that.
Okay,
Dave.
Thanks a lot for your call. Now, Jim, that's the perfect segue here, because I noted the book review that you wrote for the New York Times that was published on Sunday. You reviewed the new book called Without Precedent by Lee Hamilton and Tom Kane, the co-chairs of the 9/11 Commission. I have not read their book. Is there anything that you found in it that was really valuable? From the review, it seems that they confined themselves to the problems they had getting documents, getting cooperation from the White House and other federal agencies.
Yeah, there wasn't really, as I mentioned in the review, there really wasn't much new in terms of the new information on the attack itself. At least I didn't find anything new. And I think, you know, they had enormous amounts of time to look into it, and they put most virtually everything they found that was new into the report.
Mm-hmm.
So what they focused on in the book was on sort of the backstory, the story on how the commission came to be, what the problems were that they were having, and I thought that part was very interesting, the parts that they talked about how desperate the White House was to keep them from getting anywhere, getting any kind of information. The person standing at the gate was the person who is now the Attorney General, and
right.
At the time he was the White House counsel.
Well, and they had Zelikow there. They had Philip Zelikow there as a minder on loan from the White House.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, that you know the actual members themselves, you know, a number of them tried very hard, but overall they were largely a group of Washington insiders that weren't too interested in rocking the boat, and the most pressure for the most help they got in terms of pressure came not from their own members of the commission, but rather from the family members who had joined sort of a coalition to put pressure on the White House.
And Jim, in a friendly way, I'll just say I thought you were too nice to them in this review, because to me, their recent comments fly in the face of the unanimity that they expressed when they released their report. And also, they really aren't acknowledging the failings of the 9/11 Commission to deal with the put options, to deal with the FAA problems, to deal with the NORAD stand down. Even if you don't go into the deep, dark 9/11 truth conspiracies, there are a lot of issues that this commission barely touched.
Yeah, and that was a disappointment. And I think, again, it was it's the type of book that's written by sort of insiders, so they don't want to really offend anybody. They don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to create any stir up any animosity towards anybody. And
well, unfortunately,
it should have been a lot more hard hitting.
Fortunately, you don't have that virus. Thank you for your reporting, Jim. Great to spend the hour with you.
Well, thank you, Peter. I really appreciate it.
James Bamford here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for joining us. You can email.
The program you have just enjoyed is a previously recorded broadcast.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Ernesto floods the east and Hurricane John threatens Mexico.
We are very nervous about what is going to happen.
From the Pentagon, a grim assessment of the situation in Iraq.
Death squads targeting mainly Iraqi civilians are seen as a growing problem, heightening the risk of civil war.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Starting the second half of the hurricane season, Colorado State University forecaster William Gray expects things to heat up.
We think we're going to get some storms here now. I think things are poised for a reasonably active September period.
Overall, Gray says the season will not turn out as bad as he predicted earlier. Try to tell that to people in Ocean City, Maryland. Or the folks in Teachy, North Carolina, where they slogged through rising water today, courtesy of Tropical Depression Ernesto. CBS News correspondent Joey Chen is there.
The water is coming up, not just in the southern part of North Carolina, where Ernesto came ashore late last night, but up through the mid-Atlantic states. 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts pummeled the coast. 6 inches of rain fell in parts of Virginia, forcing people in Norfolk to wade out of their communities, and Old Town Alexandria to build up its defenses to prepare for the worst.
Heavy rain moves into the northeast tonight. In Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, hotel manager Maria Mino and her staff are braced for a direct hit from Hurricane John.
They bought a lot of food supplies. We have a lot of candles and then the radios, water. We are like we are here waiting.
John is a Category 2 storm with top winds of 110 miles per hour. It's expected to make landfall soon on the southern tip of the Baja California Peninsula. Now this.
To add some prestige to the pursuit of driving pleasure, the Michelin Man is attempting to establish a master's degree program in driver's ed. Visit MichelinMan.com to learn why the uncompromising performance of Michelin MX Series Touring Tires is the ultimate study aid for those seeking to graduate to a higher level of driving. To find a Michelin dealer near you, call 1-800-MICHELIN. Michelin, a better way forward.
CompUSA email bag.
Wendy emails, Dear CompUSA, got any plans for Labor Day? Big plans, Wendy, starting with this Friday's Midnight Madness. Tons of amazing deals from 6 p.m. to midnight, like a compact laptop with Turion 64 processor, 512 megs of memory, 80 gig hard drive, and ATI graphics card for under $600 after rebates. That's $180 off. Come enjoy all the savings this Friday till midnight at CompUSA. We got it? We get it. See store for details.
The Bush administration has resisted using the word civil war to describe the sectarian violence in Iraq, but a Pentagon report to Congress today says the fighting between Sunnis and Shiites creates conditions that could lead to civil war. Retired Army Colonel Jeff McCausland is a CBS News military consultant.
I think for the next 6 months we're at a tipping point in Iraq that could go either way. These conditions could in fact worsen, and there is a distinct possibility then of moving forward to a civil war, or we could see the renewed efforts to enhance security in Baghdad, perhaps bringing the violence down to a degree and returning the corner in the other direction.
The Iraqi Defense Ministry says its forces will expand their security operation in eastern Baghdad, a Shiite militia stronghold. The Labor Department says unemployment fell to 4.7% in August.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House, which is hailing the latest drop in the unemployment rate as another sign of a strong economy. Though it added only a modest 128,000 jobs in August, the White House trumpets that it brings to more than 5.7 million the number of new jobs since August of 2003. The White House says the economy remains strong and the outlook is favorable.
Oil prices today fell below $70 a barrel, and even before the end of summer travel, gasoline prices are coming down. Time to hit the road. All across the country, it's a chance to make the most of these final days of summer. WTIC Radio's Chris Francis has the story in Windsor Locks, Connecticut.
If 80% of this weekend's expected 6 million-plus travelers in the Northeast are driving, that means more than a million people are flying.
We're headed to Atlanta, Georgia, then taking another plane to Mississippi to visit our grandparents.
I'm headed to Anchorage. I'm going on an Alaska cruise.
For many, it's the first time flying since the liquid carry-on ban.
We couldn't bring any of the same stuff that we could have.
Like what?
Deodorant and drinks and food and stuff.
You don't have any liquids in those bags, do you?
No, I don't.
Chris Francis for CBS News, Windsor Locks, Connecticut.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Living with cataracts? Take care with Similazon Cataract Care Eye Drops. Finally, healthy relief for the symptoms of diagnosed cataracts is available over-the-counter. While only surgery can remove cataracts, Similazon Homeopathic Cataract Care stimulates your eye's natural ability to temporarily relieve cataract symptoms. Plus, Similazon is safe to use with no known side effects. Cataract relief shouldn't be hard to find, and now it isn't. Look for Similazon in the eye care section of your local retailer. Take care. Similazon Cataract Care. Read and follow label directions.
We all love champions, we all love winners, and even the best of them can suffer from cold sores. Millions of people suffer from cold sores, and now millions of people use Relieve one-day cold sore symptom treatment. Why do they choose Relieve? Because Relieve is the only treatment that guarantees to relieve the symptoms of cold sores in just a day. So if you suffer from cold sores, get a winning treatment. Get Relieve. It's guaranteed. Relieve is spelled R-E-L-E-E-V, and you can buy Relieve from the shelves of all major drugstores and other fine stores.
And air traffic controllers' fatigue may have been a factor in last Sunday's deadly plane crash in Lexington, Kentucky. Now, with the FAA poised to impose a new contract this weekend, the controllers' union says demanding work schedules could create a hazard for flyers.
The controllers are going to be less rested. The facility is going to be have less staffing, which is going to shed another layer of the redundancy for the safety of this system.
An FAA spokeswoman says we would never have a controller controlling traffic who was too tired to work. Visiting New York City to drum up business today, New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin came close to apologizing for his remark about Ground Zero.
What I will never do again is refer to that site as a whole. It's a sacred, site that is presently in an undeveloped state.
In a recent 60 Minutes interview, Nagin defended the pace of the cleanup after Hurricane Katrina, saying New York can't get a hole in the ground fixed, and it's 5 years later. Time on the roundup, 7 minutes past the hour.
Honey, I think I need a new look.
So, what, like a new haircut or something?
I meant the color of the living room.
I knew that.
It's the Labor Day sale at Sherwin-Williams. This Thursday through Monday, save 25% on our high-quality paints and stains, 15% on Duration Premium coatings, and an extra 25% on Waverly wallpaper books, too. Hurry, sale ends Monday, September 4th.
Ask Sherwin-Williams.
For locations, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply.
Hi, I'm Jeff Daniels to let you know that Michigan is more than a wonderful place to live. It's a great place to build a business. Take TJ Technologies. They're revolutionizing the modern-day battery for NASA, defense, and everyday use. And while competitors moved overseas, the Michigan Economic Development Corporation helped TJ with all the resources they needed to succeed right here in Michigan. And they can do the same for you. Find out how at Michigan.org, because wherever in the world you compete, Michigan can give you the upper hand.
Lower oil prices and declining unemployment gave the stock market a boost, the Dow up 83 points today to finish the week at 11,464. The Nasdaq gained 9 points to close at 2,193. This is Ben Bernanke Day in Dillon, South Carolina. Hundreds turned out in the Federal Reserve Chairman's hometown for a ceremony to present him with the Order of the Palmetto, South Carolina's highest civic honor. Dillon has fallen on hard times since Bernanke graduated with the high school class of 1971. Federal price supports for tobacco are gone, and textile plants have been closing. The unemployment rate is more than twice the national average. In his acceptance speech, Bernanke said that as he sits in a nice office in Washington, he tries not to forget about the millions of Americans working hard, struggling to manage their family finances, and worrying about the price of gas and college tuition. That's the World News Roundup, produced this week by Dave Mock and Kathleen Biggins. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
The following program has been previously recorded.
And we launch into another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. I remain your humble host, Peter B. Later this hour, our contributor on Military and Veterans Affairs, Scott Dick, returns to the Peter B. Collins program. But before that, it's time for a fresh chat with Sam Gardner. Colonel Sam Gardner retired from the United States Air Force after serving our country and teaching at the National War College, the Naval War College, the Air War College, and I hold him in high regard. He's provided us with a lot of interesting information over the last few months about our government's intentions toward the nation of Iran. Sam Gardner, welcome to the program today.
Thanks, Peter B.
How are you doing?
Good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, sir. Let me just open it up for a couple of minutes and ask you to recap some of the recent things that you've been emailing about in terms of the conflict that we've seen, the 34-day war between Israel and Hezbollah that, well, was a lot of aerial strikes over the Lebanese countryside, a little bit of ground warfare as well.
Yes.
But many of us see this as linked to the U.S. posture toward Iran and toward what you and Seymour Hersh and other individuals have described as the Bush administration's intent to launch military strikes to reduce or cripple Iran's ability to develop nuclear weapons.
Sure. Well, first of all, I guess I have to say after this week, I'm even more convinced. And it's not a question of when the United States will launch a strike on Iran. I mean, it's only the question of when. It's not whether.
Yeah.
The decision has been made, and we're going to do it. In fact, I found some got some very interesting feedback this afternoon about what happened in Jordan. First of all, let me say, you mentioned Seymour Hersh.
Mm-hmm.
His article people have to read, because what he points out is this was not an Israeli operation. This was an Israeli-American operation.
Yeah.
This morning's USA Today also points out we were probably giving targeting information to Israel. You have to understand it not in the context of what it was said, but in the context that's broader.
Mm-hmm.
I'm told that the White House and the Israeli leadership believe that this operation was a success. And here's the way that logic goes. 99% of the long-range rockets, now long-range, not the short-range, but the ones that could hit Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
have been destroyed. That's first. Second, what has been achieved is placing into Lebanon, a force that will watch, control to some degree, Hezbollah. That is the first step towards the strike on Iran. show you how that logic goes.
Okay.
See, what we will have generated is a coalition of people who otherwise wouldn't be willing. Everybody that I know says that if Iran is struck, that the first reaction would have been to have Hezbollah attack Israel.
Mm-hmm.
That's been checked.
So we got them buttoned up.
Phase one has been completed and completed successfully. It would be a mistake to interpret this as a loss. It would be a mistake to interpret this as believing that an operation on Iran wouldn't go the way we wanted it to. This is the first step on that process.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the very interesting thing, consequence of this is, I'm getting emails from contacts in Europe that the Europeans are beginning to recognize the undercurrent of this. If you'll notice, the French, after having said they were going to provide, be a major contributor to the peacekeeping force,
mm-hmm.
said, well, we'll send 300.
No, 200.
Down to 200? Okay.
Well, here's the math, okay?
Sure,
There were 200 French members of the existing UN peacekeeping force of 2,000 along the Lebanese-Israeli border.
Uh-huh.
Jacques Chirac announced he's going to double that. So he's adding 200 new troops.
Okay,
And then they're going to put 1,700 people on ships off the coast to watch.
You know, they are afraid of the U.S. attack on Iran, because what that would do is put them right in the middle of supporting that operation and of the backlash. The Finnish decision is maybe even more interesting. I've been exchanging email with a friend who is advising Finland in its role right now as president of the EU. Finland decided to provide forces in November. They're going to see how this comes out, how the administration handles whether or not the strike takes place before the election. They're going to wait and see. Again, they don't want to be caught in the middle after the U.S. strikes Iran in, you know, being between Hezbollah and Israel.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sam, as I look at this, I try to think critically. And one of the obstacles that the Bush administration faces is winning some sort of congressional approval for any military action against Iran. Now, we've seen this administration act without authority in the NSA case, and the judge in Detroit tried to push back on that yesterday. However, many members of Congress who I've talked to don't believe that this administration has any real authority to expand the war beyond Iraq and Afghanistan. And so I'm curious, the other thing that I'd throw in here, just as a little tidbit,
right,
is the way they've been trying to get John Bolton permanently confirmed. He's on that recess appointment that would run out in January, and they started in August with Voinovich's flip to say, well, you know, we've got to confirm this guy permanently. Now, that's a signal to me that they're worried about losing control of the Senate in November.
Could be.
And that ties in with the war authorization that I believe they need if they want to launch the attacks you're describing.
I don't think they think they need it. Let me use an example and then talk about the cover that they would use.
Garrett Real Estate Inspections in Watsonville reminds parents, drug experimentation usually begins because of peer pressure. If your child is starting school, please talk about how hard it can be to fit in and open up communication about those pressures. A dialogue today can save your child from suffering, loneliness, jail, or even an early grave. This message from Garrett Real Estate Inspections in Watsonville saying, please don't let a pusher be the first to talk to your children about drugs and fitting in. Call 722-1884.
Saturday, September 2nd, live in Monterey, it's Stephanie Miller.
If you look at Katrina, it goes more toward the theory that they're just disastrously incompetent. No. But then if you look at Iraq, you're like, they're disastrously incompetent and they lied.
One of the fastest rising stars in progressive talk radio, Stephanie Miller, is appearing live Saturday, September 2nd at Monterey's Casa Munras Hotel. Tickets are just $45. Go to ModereyCountyDemocrats.org or call 758-9503. That's 758-9503.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Good afternoon. Let's take a look at your drive home in and around the Monterey Bay. First off, in San Benito County, a pretty bad accident you need to know about. Southbound 101 at Highway 156. Off to the right-hand shoulder, could be some debris in the roadway. Use extra caution. Over to Hollister, Shore Road at Fraser Lake Road, an accident off to the right-hand shoulder. Two vehicles involved there. Crews are on the scene. Salinas checking in already with a crash. Northbound along 101 just after Laurel Road. It's two separate grass fires and a wreck, so that's a lot of activity and heavy smoke drifting across the roadway. Also in Salinas now, eastbound 68, the on-ramp to southbound 101, a crash has just been reported. CHP is headed out to check it out. This look brought to you by Centrum Silver. Centrum Silver multivitamins has essential nutrients, which emerging science suggests, along with a healthy diet, may help support heart health. I'm Alex Daly, and that's traffic on KRXA 540.
The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
It's time for the Monterey County Fair. August 15th through the 20th. On Tuesday night, don't miss Grammy Award-winning Asleep at the Wheel. On Wednesday, it's Kurt recording artist Billy Dean. Thursday night is Tower of Power. On Friday night, it's Santana's original lead singer, Greg Raleigh. Saturday night, the new Battle of the Bands. And on Sunday, enjoy the Chicano All-Stars and other great Latin bands. Monterey County Fair, August 15th through the 20th. Buy your tickets online at montereycountyfair.com or call 372-5863.
Let's take a look at your drive. Already some problems in the afternoon drive off the freeway.
This is how we are running a repeat of the Peter B. Collins Show. I don't want to give our listeners the wrong traffic report, so we will not play that report. That is a recording. We have already played the traffic report for today earlier in this break, so we will not have the recent one. We are excited to be broadcasting the show for all you listeners out there 2 hours next week, starting on Tuesday from 8 till 10 a.m. That'll be Casey and myself because Stephanie Miller will be on vacation. We'll go back to our regular lineup starting the following week. And thank you so much for listening to KRXA AM 540.
Advil PM is here. The multi-pain relieving power of Advil plus a gentle sleep aid. New Advil PM. Stop hurting. Start sleeping. I'm Alex Daly with traffic.
Melanoma, so easy to see. People everywhere just want to be free. Listen, people, listen. That's the way it should be. Deep in the valley, people got to be free.
Yeah, maybe in the Bekaa Valley. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 20 minutes past the hour as we continue our conversation with Sam Gardner, retired Air Force colonel, and he's taught at the various war colleges, and he shares information with us about what is seen as the preliminary moves for a U.S. attack ultimately on Iran, probably before the end of this calendar year. And the other interesting thing, Sam, from Seymour Hersh's most recent dispatch is that the Pentagon generals succeeded in persuading Bush, Cheney, and presumably Rice that a nuclear option in terms of trying to blow up Natanz or some of these other installations in Iran is not appropriate. And it's just so comforting to know that our generals have higher standards of morality and ethics and just a sense of politics that's better than the people they report to in the White House today.
Well, there is something that item has been underappreciated. I don't know why Seymour Hersh's article in which he described that didn't receive an echo all over the United States. Not only did it do what you said, which is it said that the general stood up for a higher sense of what might be right, but, and this is the profound thing, the general stood up to the White House. Now, that is an overwhelming point. I'm told that, in fact, there were some threats of resignation. Now, that's a very big deal. The first time that that's happened, and I think it's reflecting of their unease about that not have happened during the build-up to Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Think of that, threatening to resign. Now, there are a couple parts to that. One of them is you can't have that, actually. I mean, you can't. I mean, that's not – our system can't run when the generals have to threaten the White House for resignation.
Yeah.
So that in ways that has to be stopped, but by the same token, what probably is more important to be stopped is seeming irrational option selection by the White House.
Well, and Hersh describes differences of opinion among the different portions of the Pentagon, and if I remember, I read it a few days ago, if I remember correctly, the Air Force believes that they can inflict serious damage and that with non-nuclear bunker busters, they could do significant damage to Natanz. But often what I'm hearing from other angles, including the Army, is that we don't have enough intelligence to do that properly. We don't even know how deep down Natanz goes. And therefore, we can't be sure that even repeated strikes with bunker busters would do the job. And we have to believe that they have dispersed their centrifuges and other technology to avoid just such a pinpoint strike. So that discussion that's going on is encouraging on one hand and troubling on the other, because it does seem that they're trying to achieve the goals laid out by the White House.
But what's so interesting, what I think has happened, Peter B., is that when you get an answer you don't like, you go and ask people who might give you an answer that you do like. Rather than asking the Central Command, General Abizade, this question is going to the Strategic Command. You remember the Omaha base SAC that used to be? It's not called SAC anymore, but these are the people who do strategic attack. And they're the ones who are arguing that this could be pulled off effectively. And that makes me very uneasy because I fear that Rumsfeld, instead of going to the people who know the situation, have gone to people who will tell him what he likes. And in fact, there's a parallel between what happened with Israel. You know, the air power advocates, and I can say this with love because having been one, sell a narcotic. It's a drug. Mm-hmm. I can do this quickly. I can do this easily.
Yeah.
Just let me do it with air power, and I'll achieve policy objectives, and there'll be no casualties.
Yeah, that is very well put. Let me ask you to comment on something far afield from that. We interviewed a man the other day who had cited George Packer and other sources, and he stated that it's an open secret in Washington that Rumsfeld has defected from the cabal and wants to get out of Iraq. Have you heard anything about that?
I haven't. The only thing I have heard is that he's very uncomfortable about some aspects of this Iran thing, as it would make difficulties in Iraq.
Oh, yeah.
You know, clearly, and you know, I think you and I have talked about this before, but the backlash would first be there.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a very interesting article in the Boston Globe this week, which talked about how the Army War College is completely changing its curriculum to focus on insurgencies.
Hmm.
See, what's so important about that, Peter B., is that I think the military...
Hello? Hello?
What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Meet the folks of IPX 1031. When you're selecting a qualified intermediary to assist you for your next exchange, think IPX 1031. Call them at 888-771-1031. That's this week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Sunday mornings at 10 right here on KRXA.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Flirting with disaster. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. By now you've heard the latest reason why losing Iraq would be a disaster.
If we give up the fight in the streets of Baghdad, we will face the terrorists in the streets of our own cities.
Which, of course, no one wants. But I was thinking, suppose they did try to fight us here. Don't we win that one? See, here in America, unlike in Iraq, the people are actually on the side of law and order. Heck, we have SWAT teams who'll kick in your door just for growing a little weed, never mind fooling around with explosives. And on the airplanes, passengers are ready to tackle you for requesting a pillow in a threatening manner. Actually, I think that what concerns people about the Iraq War is that after 3.5 years, victory keeps getting farther away. Once upon a time, it was about catapulting Saddam, but now...
The battle for Iraq is now central to the ideological struggle of the 21st century.
Yikes! Now it's Western civilization itself hanging in the balance. If it's true that in 2006, the threat to Western civilization is from a bunch of cave-dwelling 12th century fanatics with improvised car bombs and explosives made from sports drinks, do we still need all those nuclear submarines? We spend a pile of money to protect civilization. If you combine the annual military budgets of our arch enemies, Cuba, North Korea, Syria, and Iran, then multiply it by 32, it's almost as much as we spend on defense. Now, if that's not enough to protect Western civilization, do we have the money back? If we have to go down, at least we should have a hosted bar. Now this.
Honey, I think I need a new look.
So, what, like a new haircut or something?
I meant the color of the living room.
I knew that.
It's the Labor Day sale at Sherwin-Williams. This Thursday through Monday, save 25% on our high-quality paints and stains, 15% on Duration Premium coatings, and an extra 25% on Waverly wallpaper books, too. Hurry, sale ends Monday, September 4th.
Ask Sherwin-Williams.
For locations, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Go, Corbin!
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are in many ways so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
Me, what's in the box?
Rock Rollin' Real Estate. This week, Linda Gerchick, CCIM, will tell you why Phoenix, Arizona is one of the best investments in real estate. Call her at 1-800-525-6589 to sign up for a free seminar at the Fairmont in Newport Beach, August 26th. That's this week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, Sunday morning at 10 on KRXA.
For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820. Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it, Tom. The Peter B. Collins Show continues. It's the Friday edition, and I'm glad you're listening. Scott Dick is our contributor on military and veterans affairs. He served in the Marines and then retired from the Army as a major. And he's been traveling in Europe, traveling in the Midwest of these United States, and he's back on the left coast with us today. Hello, Scott. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing fine. There's a lot to talk about in the military veterans affairs area. And first up, I wanted to talk with you about a report that came out yesterday that I think is a significant barometer of the real challenges we have in Iraq. You and I don't quibble over the terminology. It is a civil war there. And while people in the Bush administration try to avoid using that particular term, the fact really speak very strongly. For example, the New York Times reported yesterday that the number of attacks against Americans in Iraq has increased substantially over the past year, and the number of improvised explosive devices, or IEDs, has nearly doubled since the beginning of this year to 2,500 plus in the month of July. And we've been told that the capture and killing of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi was going to lead to a reduction in violence and a reduction in attacks on Americans. And this is not happening in any way, shape, or form.
No, and in fact, Peter, General Abizaid had came out and said, I quote, "Sectarian violence is as bad as I have seen it in Baghdad. If it is not stopped, it is possible Iraq can move toward civil war." So he's admitted it's the worst he's ever seen it, but at the same time, he's talking out both sides of his mouth.
Well, but I think that was an artful way. Consider that Rumsfeld was sitting at his elbow as he said that, and I think it was a way to get that into the conversation, the national conversation.
And I know that Casey's been taken to the woodshed over his remarks about redeploying the troops back to the United States, because we haven't heard anything from him publicly except from a few lines in the press.
You know, I don't know if you got the email I sent you about 10 days ago, but Casey did show up on television in Iraq fronting for some press conferences where they were trying to persuade us that, more and more the Iraqis are managing security and suppression of the insurgency.
Right, but he's dropped off the radar screen, and before he was up front and center in every conference, every news print, and he was all over the network, et cetera. And so I think he's still in the doghouse.
Well, he's in the Sunni Triangle, which I think is today's equivalent of the doghouse.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. So what do you make of the risk to American service members, particularly with this striker brigade that has been almost 4,000 of them, who were about to come home stateside and got their tour extended by at least 4 months, and they've been reassigned into Baghdad, which in my view makes them targets?
Well, as there's an old saying, they ain't seen nothing yet. And Peter, what's so tough about the 172nd is that they were 2 days away from going back to Washington and Alaska. They had already signed over 12 of their strikers to other units. They'd given away all of their logistics, the spare parts, all of their personal gear that they had, TVs, the thing that made Iraq home as best it could be. They had given that away or sold it or shipped it back to the United States. They shipped everything back but the uniforms, their personal gear that they had acquired there to keep them safe, for, you know, warm in the, when it was cold and cold when it was warm. All that stuff is gone. And so they are started off from ground zero all over again, and they're not happy, and their families aren't happy, and it's more than just a thing. You know, everybody wants to say, well, they volunteered for this. Yeah, but you can't lie to the troops over and over and over again and expect the morale to be where it was when they first arrived or even in the middle. And the morale soared, I'm sure, as they got closer to redeploying.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have to start literally all over again. They have to go out. They've had to go out and scrounge equipment. They've had to scrounge spare parts, et cetera, and it's been tough. It's going to be tough on that unit to get back on their feet and get back to the combat readiness.
In the same Senate hearing where Abizaid trotted out a trial balloon on civil war, they very firmly shot down any notion that American troops on a net basis will be coming home this year.
Yeah, that's... And they don't have any more troops to send there. They really don't. They're so far behind in maintenance and repair. The National Guard is strained. The active army is strained. I mean, we know, Peter, that they're putting Air Force and Navy units on the ground in Iraq to make up for the troops they don't have. This is going to be ugly, and it's going to be uglier until they come up with some kind of plan to get our guys out of there. And, you know, Peter, they're not going to come up with a plan until they can figure out a way to declare a win and, success.
And in the recesses of your imagination, can you come up with a scenario that fits that?
No. The only way that winning a modern guerrilla war has been extremely difficult, and the only way that you can do it is either by killing the leaders or by buying them off like they did in Malaysia with the Brits. There was a successful strategy. But if people want you away out of their territory, they'll find a way to get you out of their territory. Mm-hmm. They have all the time in the world. We don't. It's
their country, it's their culture, it's their society. They're going to deal with these old feuds between the Sunnis and the Shia the way they're going to deal with it. And if Americans get in the way, I mean, it's just... I'm reminded, Peter, of this old joke. They asked a Polish soldier, you know, the Poles fought a guerrilla campaign against the Russians until the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked a Polish soldier, if you saw a Russian on one side and a German on the other, which one would you shoot first? And he said, of course, the Russian. Well, why the Russian? Well, business before pleasure.
Okay. Interesting. As you look at the picture, and I've been talking with other people about this, trying to come up with a way that saves some American face while facing reality, and that reality is that we're going to leave eventually. And so the phony rhetoric of the Republicans about cut and run is really only a matter of how long you allow before cut and run becomes a phased withdrawal. So when we look at the timing of all this, I do understand that there are some people who say, well, gosh, if we pull out now, we're just going to leave a huge, chaotic mess there. But the argument that they can't really make persuasively is that staying there would leave any less of a mess or reduce, you know, the risk of an implosion of that country.
Yeah, there's no way you can stop with the amount of troops that we have here. It reminds me of Barbara Tuchman's book about China, and you can apply it to Vietnam. In her final line of her book, she wrote, China went its own way as if the Americans had never come. And that's what's going to happen in Iraq. The same as what happened in Vietnam, and we use the same excuse. Well, if we leave now, 30,000 troops will have died in vain. If we leave now, 40,000 troops would have died in vain. Well, we left after 55,000 troops died. And Vietnam went exactly the way it was going to go, regardless of those 55,000 deaths. And I think that's what's going to happen in Iraq as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter, by the way, the Senate voted again before they went to recess to ban permanent bases in Iraq. And the administration has come back and said, we have no intention of building permanent bases, but we want that removed from the legislation. So they took it out.
I missed that.
There's a lot of concern that they're going to build permanent bases. The Iraqis are becoming suspicious. The
mm-hmm.
Congress is becoming suspicious. Rumsfeld said there was no way, but they couldn't pin Rice down. And that's why Biden introduced it again. And again, it was defeated. Or at least the Bush administration has come back and has demanded that it be removed.
Yeah. Well, and of course, they would allow a bill to be signed with it in there and then just cross their fingers and say, oh, never mind, we don't intend to honor that particular stipulation. There have been virtually unanimous resolutions or amendments out of each of the houses on Capitol Hill with this basic same idea, a ban on permanent or enduring bases in Iraq, and the administration, just as you said, denies that's their intention, but will not permit the legislation to get locked in.
Yeah, it's one of those things, Peter. You know, we have so many peacekeeping operations that have never ended. I just noticed that they're going to rotate the troops in Kosovo. They have a National Guard unit going to Kosovo. Of course, we have the mission in Bosnia. We have those missions just have a tendency to go underground, if you will, as far as the media is concerned. But they're still there, and we're still sending troops to them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an amazing money pit that we've thrown our soldiers into.
Yeah, it sure is. Scott Dick is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment you'd like to join our conversation, go ahead and call us at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, Scott, last week you were in Chicago for a food, wine, and travel event, and many of our listeners on the Central Coast know that on Saturdays you host the Tasty Planet on KRXA 540 from 1 to 3 in the afternoon, soon to be expanding to a third hour, 1 to 4 p.m. But what kind of attitudes did you find in the Midwest? Are people pretty much buying into the Bush administration's positions?
No, I think the Republican Party is in serious trouble, because I talked to several people who had voted twice for President Bush, and they're extremely, extremely disappointed in the results in Afghanistan and Iraq, and I'm really sugarcoating it. And they're finding that our situation in Iraq, they don't understand it. They don't know why it's collapsed the way it is, but they feel like they've been sold a bill of goods. Now, I did have a conversation with a woman who's pretty conservative, Christian, and she has purchased the Republican line, hook, line, and sinker. And there was nothing that I could say that would even make any kind of dent. She eventually just said, well, you listen to a different radio than I do. It's hard to believe we live in the same country. But weapons of mass destruction, the idea that if we don't fight them in Iraq, we'll fight them here. And I asked her to, if there was any proof at all that the Iraqis were involved in terrorism. No, but they are now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's it was, she, I think she's so set, and this is common in people I talk to, so set that it would, in supporting President Bush and the Republicans and the Christians, et cetera, that to acknowledge any kind of chink in their armor would be, I think it would be a house of cards that would crumble. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of people don't want to face that.
Yeah. Now, Scott, in traveling, I imagine you had some delays and, additional security measures imposed on you. Was there any grumbling, and did any of your fellow travelers complain that they...
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Let's take a look at your drive this afternoon in and around the Monterey Bay. Most serious at this point is actually along the Pacheco Pass. An accident that happened a while ago eastbound along Highway 152 before Dinosaur Point. This crash involves two vehicles still blocking the right-hand lane. The end result, traffic is almost at a standstill. Eastbound along Highway 152 back to Highway 101 in Gilroy. I would wait a little while before heading out on that route. In Salinas, a couple of problems. First off, eastbound along Highway 68 on the on-ramp to southbound 101. Crash reported here. CHP is headed out to check it out. Northbound 101 in Salinas, just after Laurel Road. Two separate grass fires are burning in the right-hand shoulder. What this means for you is very heavy smoke across the highway. This look at traffic is brought to you by your local Pontiac dealer. See the new 2007 models now arriving, or go to get value on the remaining 2006 Pontiac models at your local Pontiac dealer, or visit BayAreaPontiacDealers.com. I'm Alex Daly. That's traffic on KRXA 5
season at local owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Did you hear the show when God called?
Being an atheist myself, having God calling yesterday was a really big blow wow. to all of us.
I think I can go out and say another case of a person's life being changed courtesy of the show and KRXA
yeah,
Radio.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
The show, weekday mornings, 9 to 10 on KRXA 540.
Situation as it stands right now. Santa Cruz Mountains, I'm happy to say no stalls or crashes along Highway 17.
And again, this is Hal. This is incorrect traffic report. This is not the report for today, and I don't want to confuse any of our listeners. So because of the PBC show being recorded from previous days, we're having a little bit of a technical problem with the timing. I apologize to all our listeners for that. In any event, we'll be right back to the replay as soon as this minute is up, and I hope you're all enjoying the show. Scott with Scott Dick. Of course, he does have the show Tasty Planet on Saturdays from 1, and it's now 1 to 4. Tomorrow there will be 3 hours of Scott Dick, and then following Scott will be Sheila Gale's Reality Radio, and I understand that's going to be a great show for all our listeners. After that, I hope you can make it over to Casa Monris to see Stephanie Miller. Enjoy Peter B. Collins.
And the Peter B. Collins show is on time, under budget. Well, we don't really have a budget. That's how we stay under. We continue our visit with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs. Your calls and comments are welcome here at 888-5-PETER-B. And Scott, it's not pleasant to talk about the problems in Iraq, but I think it's very important because over the last few weeks, successive events have kind of pushed back attention to the situation there, the conflict in the Middle East, and now we have JonBenet Ramsey's alleged confessed killer, whose story doesn't stack up, kind of pushing the important issues. Well, not to say the war in Lebanon was not important, but pushing this back in the minds of many Americans. And one of the things I just wanted to recap or touch on is the investigations into various atrocities committed by American troops. The Haditha massacre, the investigation there continues, and we're learning that more people may have been involved in the cover-up, that there was a drone overhead that captured footage of the sequence of events there, and efforts were made to suppress that. Apparently, that evidence will be forthcoming. But there's an array. There are five different investigations underway. And for the Bush administration, it's kind of good news to have this stuff pushed out of view.
Well, yeah, because it makes it easy. It makes their life easier for them. And it's a shame. And hopefully, they'll have competent officers investigate this. They should have professionals do it. And when they get done, they should let the chips fall where they may and not whitewash it like they did the My Lai.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lesson in training and supervision.
Well, it's interesting because just yesterday, a CIA contractor named David Passaro was convicted in a courtroom in the Carolinas, I believe. Yeah, North Carolina, Raleigh, of abuse of a prisoner there, and he faces a maximum of 11 and a half years in prison. Now, this is a different case because he was a CIA contractor, and they're able to kind of compartmentalize that and say, well, this is just a bad apple who stepped well beyond the law. There was a man in his custody who died after allegedly being beaten by a flashlight wielded by Mr. Passaro. What we have seen, though, is that these issues related to U.S. forces in Iraq are often compartmentalized as well, and they try to keep the damage control to the lowest possible rank.
Yeah, we haven't seen any serious convictions because of detainee abuse, have we? None.
Only up to the... Well, Colonel Pappas was reprimanded, and I believe the individuals who've been convicted are all below his rank.
He got an Article 15, which is a non-judicial punishment. In other words, it won't appear in his record if you go to any of the court-martial and convicted. That stands as a federal conviction.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can help people out by giving them non-judicial punishment, then that's great because they can retire full benefits, and as long as they're quiet and don't make any waves, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, Peter, doesn't it bother you that the CIA has contractors who are allowed to have flashlights?
Well, it's okay if they have flashlights, but they shouldn't be beating people with them.
Well, it bothers me that they can point a finger at a contractor, but how many thousands of contractors do they employ in this line of work every day? And their belts are completely off the books. Nobody supervises those guys. He must have really somehow made somebody mad. The question that somebody would ask him is, who did you piss off to actually go to trial and not just disappear?
Yeah. No, that's a very good point. And I saw a count the other day. We have upwards of 40,000 paramilitary contractors in Iraq right now.
Peter, didn't we used to call those guys mercenaries?
Yeah, soldiers of fortune.
I am so confused because I don't know when the verbiage changed. I guess when what's going on in Iraq stopped. It's called something, but it's not called the Civil War. The huge fight between Iraqis. We're in the middle of it, but it's not a civil war. It's a...
The program you have just enjoyed is a previously recorded broadcast.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Jamie Wright of the San Francisco Giants asking you to take a stand against violence. When a child is a victim or a witness of violence in their home, school, or community, an imprint is made that affects them deeply. They may have trouble sleeping, eating, learning, or trusting. These effects can last a lifetime, but with your help, children can heal. Don't participate in violence, and for everyone's sake, take a stand against violence. Learn to resolve your arguments respectfully. Our children are watching. Brought to you by the Giants Community Fund.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It's really been coming down in the mid-Atlantic states as Tropical Depression Ernesto moves slowly northward, dumping buckets of rain as it goes. CBS News correspondent Joey Chen is in North Carolina.
In some communities, the floodwaters have become really a much bigger risk. In fact, community officials have come forward and said, look, if there's a time to get out, it's when the floodwaters are rising. They have, in a couple parts of the state, in little pockets of the state, moved in and told people, look, it is time to get out. The floodwaters are coming up, and we cannot help you if you stay behind.
There is flooding in the forecast for parts of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and New England this weekend. On the west coast of Mexico, hurricane-force winds have started to hit the tip of the Baja California Peninsula as the center of Hurricane John moves closer to shore. Daniel Uriba is a tourist hunkered down at a resort hotel in Cabo San Lucas. He says most of the locals have left town.
10,000 people from the dangerous areas are moving from those areas, so they move to a special shelters.
Many foreigners are trapped because they couldn't get flights out. The National Hurricane Center warns of life-threatening flash floods and mudslides. The Pentagon's latest report to Congress on the situation in Iraq says the fighting between Sunnis and Shiites creates conditions that could lead to civil war.
Sectarian violence is clearly now the most pressing problem in Iraq. We are in perhaps the most complex security situation we've had since the invasion.
Retired Army Colonel Jeff McCausland, a CBS News military consultant, says this could be the tipping point, and things could go one way or the other in the next 6 months. The Pentagon report says movement toward a civil war can be prevented. 15,000 U.S. troops have been deployed in Baghdad to quell the violence there, and Iraqi forces plan to expand their operations in the Shiite militia stronghold of eastern Baghdad. It's been a good day for the Pentagon's Missile Defense Agency.
The test that we executed today was a total success.
Lieutenant General Trey Obering says a mock warhead launched into space over the Pacific was knocked out by an interceptor missile fired from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. The test simulated what they hope would happen if North Korea tries to attack.
I don't want to ask the North Koreans to launch against us. That would be a realistic end-to-end test. Short of that, this is about as good as it gets with respect to that.
Fidel Castro seems to be getting better. His voice is weak, but the Cuban president is very animated in a video recorded today when he was visited by his close ally, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez. The 80-year-old Castro is recovering from intestinal surgery a month ago. A good day to finish the week on Wall Street. The Dow Industrial's up 83 points to 11,464. The Nasdaq gained 9 points to close at 2193. The price of oil fell below $70 a barrel, a 10-week low. This is CBS News.
You trust your car and your tires to take you where you want to go. So who do you trust to take care of your tires? Sears Auto Centers. To come in right now, all tires are on sale from all the top brands, including Goodyear, Michelin, and Bridgestone. All tires, all on sale. If you've got places to go, make sure you're going to the place that takes care of your car, your tires, and you. Sears Auto Centers. See store for details. Exclusions apply. Sale ends 9606.
Because financial solutions have no borders or boundaries, because one market affects another market, UBS operates in only two locations, everywhere and right next to you. Powerful global resources leveraged every day to the most important issues. Yours. UBS, leader in wealth management, global asset management, and investment banking, and committed to a relationship we call you and us. Member SIPC.
A couple who got married this morning in Ocean City, New Jersey, will have a story to tell about their wedding on the beach as Ernesto moved in. KYW Radio's Tony Hansen has the story.
For Mel and Ashley Worth, the wedding wasn't exactly as they had planned. Wedding without the sun, of course.
Normally, this time of the year, it's gorgeous if you have a nice day and the sunrise, but it was still beautiful.
And Phyllis Robinson, out for a quick walk on the beach before the grandchildren woke up, took in the ceremony as the rain picked up.
I know, it's coming down now, but watching a wedding is beautiful.
Beautiful, but truly off to a stormy start. Tony Hansen, CBS News, Ocean City, New Jersey.
Sad news from the Milwaukee Zoo. Lucy the elephant, who spent most of her 46 years at the zoo and was a favorite of visitors, had been ailing all summer and finally had to be euthanized when she was too weak to stand. Brittany, the only other elephant at the zoo, was allowed into Lucy's stall to grieve. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
To add some prestige to the pursuit of driving pleasure, the Michelin Man is attempting to establish a master's degree program in driver's ed. Visit MichelinMan.com to learn why the uncompromising performance of Michelin MX Series Touring tires is the ultimate study aid for those seeking to graduate to a higher level of driving. To find a Michelin dealer near you, call 1-800-MICHELIN. Michelin, a better way forward.
CompUSA Email Bank.
Wendy emails, Dear CompUSA, got any plans for Labor Day? Big plans, Wendy, starting with this Friday's Midnight Madness. Tons of amazing deals from 6 p.m. to midnight, like a compact laptop with Turion 64 processor, 512 megs of memory, 80 gig hard drive, and ATI graphics card for under $600 after rebates. That's $180 off. Come enjoy all the savings this Friday till midnight at CompUSA. We got it? We get it. See store for details.
The following program has been previously recorded.
Welcome to another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Today we're going to look at the questions that linger from September 11, 2001.
By the world watched in horror. To
a hijacked plane. Destroyed our trade center.
Well, maybe.
You better believe it. You better deal with it.
Well, we're dealing with it. Yoko, I'm not sure what I believe. That's Yoko Ono's Give Peace a Chance 2004 edition. There's a new documentary that'll be released right after Labor Day. It's called 9/11 Press for Truth. And today we're going to talk with the two producers of this new documentary. They're not strangers to the Peter B. Collins Show. Kyle Hintz has been with us many times in the past. He's a co-founder of 911citizenswatch.org, and he's been very active in the 9/11 truth movement. I first met Kyle Hintz when I went to Washington in March of 2003 to observe the work of the 9/11 Commission. And I was profoundly disturbed by what I saw, and Kyle and I hooked up at that time and have remained connected on these issues since then. Kyle, welcome back to the program today.
Thanks for having me back, Peter.
Nice to talk with you, and congratulations on the film.
Well, much appreciated. It's been a long road.
I'll bet it has, and we'll talk about parts of that road over the course of this hour. Also with us is your co-producer, Rory O'Connor, who's been on our program many times before. He blogs at roryoconnor.org, and the site is freshly back from a hack job. He is also co-founder with Danny Schechter of Global Vision and MediaChannel.org, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And tell me, Kyle, how you connected with Rory and how that may have changed some of your initial plans for this documentary.
Gosh, that's a good question. It was actually through Able Danger when there were disclosures last year that the 9/11 Commission had ignored the testimony, if you will, of two intelligence officers, a Navy officer, Captain Scott Philpott, and a Army intelligence officer, Schaefer, Lieutenant
right.
Colonel Schaefer. And Rory was on the case. He was looking at the issue, and we got talking one day, and I said, hey, I'm working on a film, and how would you like to take a look at it? So he said, sure, and I sent him the DVD and got a call from him a short time later.
Mm-hmm. And Rory, when you first saw it, what interested you about the raw materials, video-wise, that Kyle and his team brought to you?
Well, first of all, I want to mention that Ray Novoselsky, is the director on this, and he deserves a lot of credit. Kyle and I have been helping out in any way that we can. Ray's original cut that Kyle brought to me, obviously it was a rough cut, but I saw two unique things in it that made it very special and stand out from, the plethora of 9/11 documentaries that I've already seen. One was that the book The Terror Timeline by Paul Thompson, which is, is the definitive research tool, was the underlying research behind and an integral part of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And the second, and perhaps even more importantly, was that there were exclusive interviews with the victims' families and their voices and the emotional resonance of having them tell the story and ask the questions was something that I hadn't seen anywhere before. So I thought that those two elements made the possibility of making a very unique and a very important film.
Mm-hmm. And I may have missed one or two, but I think I've seen most of the independently produced documentaries that have surfaced related to truth-seeking about 9/11. And this one impresses me on a number of levels, and I'll put it this way. I have been very careful in terms of friends and colleagues about exactly who I talk to about my theories or doubts about the official story and chronology of 9/11, because I find that some people are not prepared to hear about it. Some people write you off as a conspiracy theorist or, somebody who has slipped over the edge into some sort of an abyss. And this film, I think, is the first step, the gateway, if you will, that people who are passionate about trying to seek the truth about 9/11, people who are convinced that we haven't been told that truth, this is the film you should show to a 9/11 truth virgin. Kyle, your reaction to that?
Well, that's exactly what we set out to do. At least that's what resonated with me when Ray Novoselsky and his partner John Duffy approached me with the film. It was based, as Rory has said, and inspired by Paul Thompson's work and the complete 9/11 timeline. And I said, you know, this is what we need. We need a true documentary, not a piece of agitprop, not something that is highly speculative, but something that is built on fact. Built on credible sources, and which tells the story of the families, and that's what I was able to bring to the project because of my work with 9/11 Citizens Watch. You know, I had come to know the family members. I'd come to know the 9/11 widows because of the time I spent at the commission, and so I felt that that story needed to be told in its entirety. What people were not hearing was that there was a number of the family members who just were very dissatisfied with the 9/11 report, but their voices were really not heard. There was a gathering chorus, a rising chorus in support of the recommendations that the commission made, but very little scrutiny on the findings of fact, which, in my view, were terribly flawed.
Mm-hmm. And, Rory, it appears you made a conscious choice not to air all of the conflicting evidence, conflicting information, physical evidence that doesn't match the stories we've been told, for example, about what happened at the Pentagon or whether or not there were accelerants or other elements of a controlled demolition in the bringing down of the towers, all three of them, at the World Trade Center. Instead of trying to outdo Loose Change and those kinds of documentaries, it appears you were aiming in a completely different direction. Tell us.
Well, that's right. I mean, obviously, there was no reason to duplicate what had been done elsewhere, either on the left with Loose Change, on the right with On Native Soil. As I said, there's really been a plethora of documentaries, not to mention feature films, not to mention books. You know, I'm in the middle right now of Without Precedent, a book by Tom Kane and Lee Hamilton, who, of course, ran the 9/11 Commission. You know, there's a spate of media out there, but I agree with Kyle, which is that none of them really simply took the position that, hey, 5 years after this event, we still have no idea what really happened. But what we do know is what the official story says did not happen. The 9/11 Commission is the Warren Commission of our day. And as we know, the Warren Commission left everyone so dissatisfied with the obvious fact that it wasn't telling the truth that it gave rise and continues to give rise to a variety of conspiracy theories. And I think that the same thing is what's happened with 9/11. I think that that plays into the Bush administration, some of the wilder conspiracy theories. Frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if some of them weren't put out there by provocateurs in order to discredit anyone questioning the official story.
Rory, I can't handle that. It's hard enough to open the can of worms and wonder, okay, if what we've been told isn't true, what is the truth? But to think that there could be, you know, kind of reverse engineering propagandists out there trying to pollute my mind with red herring conspiracy theories, I think my brain might burst.
Well, I mean, is that crazier than thinking that George Bush and company made it happen on purpose, as one theory goes? I would say no. In fact, I would say, given, you know, my 30 years of experience in journalism and reporting on things like this, it's actually quite likely that some of that has happened.
Mm-hmm. I can't dispute that. That's very interesting. Kyle, tell me what kind of reaction, because you've been close to the widows, the Jersey girls, for so long. They got to be spitting mad at the characterization of Ann Coulter of them as harpies, as women whose husbands were about to leave them. It's just so disgusting what she did. And they seem to have taken the high road, because I haven't heard any real direct response from any of those four women.
Yeah, and I, you know, kudos to them for basically not responding. She doesn't deserve a response of these women. These women deserve our gratitude, and they have mine because of what they did. I mean, they didn't really have a political bone in their body prior to 9/11. And this administration had the gall to basically stand up and say, we must not let this investigation get in the way of the war on terror. And for 400 odd days, this administration resisted calls for an investigation. And the family members and the Jersey girls, you know, amongst the most outspoken amongst them, you know, led that charge. And if it wasn't for at least the, I mean, it was a dog and pony show, as I've said many times, you know, the hearings and such, and the fact that initially they weren't put under oath. But at least we had the opportunity to scrutinize and to listen to what they have to say and see if it really matched up with the facts. And in many, many cases, they did not. And Patty Cazaza said it very well. She said they lied. They all lied. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the absolute truth.
We got to take a break. We're talking with Kyle Hentz and Rory O'Connor. The new film we're describing is going to be released in early September. It's called 9/11 Press for Truth. There's a website up already if you want to take a look, and you can also review the trailer there. And that's a way where you can buy the DVD. It is 911PressForTruth.com. That's 911PressForTruth.com. And we'll continue in just a moment. If you have a question or comment, get on the line now. It's 1-888-5-PETER-B. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
It's time for the
Saturday, September 2nd, live in Monterey, it's Stephanie Miller.
If you look at Katrina, it goes more toward the theory that they're just disastrously incompetent. No. But then if you look at Iraq, you're like, they're disastrously incompetent and they lied.
One of the fastest rising stars in progressive talk radio, Stephanie Miller, is appearing live Saturday, September 2nd at Monterey's Casa Munras Hotel. Tickets are just $45. Go to ModereyCountyDemocrats.org or call 758-9503. That's 758-9503.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Suzuki Reno, a four-door, five-seat subcompact that's made in South Korea. For $13,000, this car is a great value for a first-time buyer. It's got a 100,000-mile transferable warranty, too. My demo has a 2-liter, 4-cylinder engine and a 5-speed manual transmission. Neither impressed me. The motor doesn't have enough power, and the Reno conked out in the middle of our grueling hill climb test. The stick shift is clunky, and the transmission doesn't have much headroom in second and third gears. Standard equipment includes AC, power windows and locks, a decent sound system, and power steering. It's an attractive package at an amazing price level, but test drive on your routes before you drive. By the numbers, the 2006 Suzuki Reno gets 23 miles in the city, 30 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $13,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B.
Let's take a look at your drive home in and around the Monterey Bay. By far, our biggest problem this afternoon has been along the Pacheco Pass. Eastbound along 152 before Dinosaur Point. Six vehicles involved in this crash from 3 o'clock, still blocking the right-hand lane. What you've got is traffic heavy, backed up almost solid. Eastbound 152 back to Highway 101 in Gilroy. Let's take a look at 101 southbound side. Heavy from Highway 85 in the Silicon Valley to Coyote Creek Golf Drive, then slow through Gilroy, Prunedale, and Salinas. To add to this, there is a crash in Salinas now, southbound 101, before Loyal Drive. This crash involves two vehicles that are in the center divide, but there may be injuries, so use extra caution. Watch for the emergency crews. This look at traffic brought to you by Advil Muscle Ache. You don't need different pain relievers for different pains. Wherever you hurt, Advil works. Advil, the everyday pain reliever. I'm Alex Daly, and that is traffic on KRXA 540.
Starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, we're Republicans, and people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true.
We're talking about the lingering questions, the skepticism that continues over the official story of 9/11/2001. And skepticism in some cases has been taken to extremes. And I think it's largely, if not, signally, related to the secrecy and the lies of the Bush administration. Because we are so used to the BS that it is hard to separate fact from fiction. And when, for example, you see recent things like the NORAD tapes coming out, the events last week, the security crackdown following the bust-up of the alleged plot in Britain, raises more questions than it answers. The lingering health problems of the first responders to 9/11 who were told by Christine Todd Whitman that the air was safe to breathe there just a few days after the events. And now the 911, not 9/11, but the emergency tapes from the dispatchers in New York that have been released over the past couple of days give us new glimpses into what was going on. And while I can't give you a firm answer, and I don't think Kyle Hentz or Rory O'Connor could tell you exactly why things happened or why NORAD failed on 9/11/01, what we all agree on is that the official story and the work of the 9/11 Commission, the Kane-Hamilton or Kane-Zelikow Commission, as David Ray Griffin referred to it, I think accurately, we need to dig deeper. And Kyle, one of the comments I've made, perhaps too often for your sake, is that I compare the 9/11 Commission's work to a ditch witch. A ditch witch is this little device, and you set it to determine how deep of a ditch this machine is going to dig. And I feel like they set it to go about, you know, this wide, but only this deep. And they dug just enough to rehash what had often been reported in the media. And they sidestepped and ignored so many critical issues that David Ray Griffin wrote a whole book about it. Kyle?
Yeah, he also put out an article that documented, I think it's 117 or 118 lies in the 9/11 report. And this is an academic. This is a PhD, a lifetime of work in academia, and he scrutinized the report and came up with over 100 lies. So, I don't think they went very deep. Right? They began with a conclusion. I mean, there was an account I read in a major, I can't recall the publication just now, but there was an account that described early meetings where they basically set out where they were going to take this. They began with their conclusion, and then they fixed the facts around that conclusion, and they ignored a lot of trails that might have led to different conclusions in the end.
That sounds a lot like the Downing Street memo.
Fix the intelligence, yes.
Yes, fixing the intelligence around the policy. Rory, you have a comment on that?
Well, I think it's time to fix the investigation. And one of the things that we and the families, in fact, are taking the lead on is calling for a reopening of the investigation. I think that that is an action that we would like to drive people to, if you will, from this film. I mean, there is no doubt going down right from the very start that the Bush administration did everything that they could to quash an investigation, which is detailed in the film.
Yeah.
As I believe it's it was Mindy Kleinberg who says, we went into this thinking that President Bush would be our greatest advocate. We were amazed to find out he became our biggest adversary. So right from the very start, let's not forget, you know, appointing Henry Kissinger,
you
know, who had Bin Laden family members as clients for his own Kissinger and Associates firm.
Well, in the film, excuse me, Roy.
Subpoena power for the commission, totally ignoring Abel Danger, the fight to get people like Condi Rice even to testify, the president and the vice president refusing to appear, finally appearing together, not appearing under oath. I mean, I could go on for hours listing the many roadblocks that were put in the way of trying to get to the truth.
And what was news to me, one item in the film, was that it was the Jersey girls who went to meet with Henry Kissinger who asked him the questions about his clients that made him so uncomfortable that he called the White House and said, I don't think I can take this job.
Well, that's one of the things that's so amazing about the victims' families and why we chose to, and we think it's so special that they are the voice of this film. Because they are amazing people. They are, and I mean this in the nicest way, ordinary people. They are ordinary Americans. They were housewives. They are mothers. They live in suburbia. Two of them voted for President Bush the first election. These are, as Kyle said earlier, they were not highly politicized people. They were not sophisticated about the way the media worked. But in the course of moving from their grief to anger and to questioning to anger and to action, they also became extremely sophisticated, and through their efforts, they learned how to use the media to put pressure on the administration and force what little investigation ever occurred.
Kyle?
That's exactly right. I mean, what they did was absolutely astounding, because here they'd lost their husbands. They were raising children on their own. Just reeling from what had happened, and yet they picked up the pieces. They couldn't sleep in the beginning. They were just poring over the internet, putting the pieces together, connecting the dots that the media and obviously any investigation really failed to do.
Kyle, got to take a break. We'll pick up there as we return with Kyle Hentz and Rory O'Connor. The new film is 9/11 Press for Truth. Go to the website 911pressfortruth.com, and you can order a DVD for yourself. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale, reminding you to join me this Saturday afternoon, 4 to 5, for Reality Radio, where we'll interview great guests from the Central Coast, ordinary people with extraordinary stories. There's nothing we won't talk about. We'll have author Joe Klass, TV host Rama Pijama, life coach Cynthia Ling, Tony X to share his harrowing life story of crime, drugs, and rehabilitation. Saturdays, 4 to 5, Reality Radio, right here on KRXA. We at KRXA want to thank you for your support of our advertisers. Together, we're working as a community to help take America back. Keep thinking outside the box and call us with any ideas and comments anytime. Tell your friends about KRXA, and together, we'll help change the direction of this great nation. Working as a team, we're making a difference, and it's needed now more than ever. I'm Sheila Gale. Thank you for listening to Progressive Talk, AM 540, KRXA.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm still your humble host, Peter B., 33 minutes past the hour. And our conversation continues with filmmakers Rory O'Connor and Kyle Hentz. Rory O'Connor, co-founder of MediaChannel.org with our friend Danny Schechter. And he blogs at RoryO'Connor.org, not .com. I made that mistake once. And also Kyle Hentz, one of the founders of the 9/11 Truth Movement, 911CitizensWatch.org. And the new film that they collaborated on is called 9/11 Press for Truth. That's 9/11 Press for Truth, and the website is up where you can read all about it and view the trailer, buy the DVD, 911PressForTruth.com is that website. And Kyle, first, what are your plans to launch this film? I understand you want our listeners and other like-minded people to host some house parties coming up in September.
Yeah, Robert Greenwald pioneered the house party concept with the help of the activist group Move On,
right,
and quite successfully. And he set up a system online where any filmmaker can take their film and find affiliate groups supporting who are sympathetic to the issues raised in the film. You post a sort of poster, the details of the film, and then anyone can go to the website. It's bravenewtheaters.com, bravenewtheaters.com, and sponsor a house party or a home screening of the film. You buy the DVD, it gets delivered to your house. You can send out invitations directly from the website, and in this way, sort of in a way, bypass the commercial establishment of distribution out of Hollywood and go direct to the people. And it's a sort of activist orientation that he pioneered, and so far, we've got some 25 different screenings organized mm-hmm. the last few weeks.
And the DVD will not be available at Walmart?
I don't know about Walmart, to be honest, but it is going to be available at a lot of the major chains. Yeah, it's going to be at Barnes & Noble and Tower Records and, eventually at Blockbuster and others. So, yeah, it will be out there as well.
And Roy,
it is available now, I should mention, through the Disinformation Company. We've done a DVD deal with them, and I want to, give props to them because they're the first people to really come on and work with us very actively as a company.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you can go to cooperativeresearch.org. This is the site which hosts a number of timelines, including the complete 9/11 timeline that Paul Thompson put together. And you can do a pre-sale, or pre-order, rather, of the DVD. Your card or paper won't be charged until the DVD is sent out. The release date is September 5th.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we're just putting the word out to the radio programs that I've been on before and trying to align organizations that are willing to send out a blast, an email blast to their members, encourage them to do a house party or come to our premiere or buy a DVD.
Mm-hmm. Great. All right. Those give you a variety of ways, cooperativeresearch.org, 911pressfortruth.com, and disinformation. Do they have a website, Rory?
Yeah, it's the disinformation.com,
I think.
Disinfo.com.
Yeah, and I just would like to say that some of the places where we're having screenings, New York, D.C., Austin soon is coming on board, so Chicago, Indianapolis, Peoria, Champaign, Ventura, California, Ojai, mm-hmm. California, Phoenix, Arizona. So basically,
Santa Barbara, Hollywood, a lot of Californians, San Luis Obispo. If you go to the website and click on showings, you can see the complete list.
All right, great. Let's take a call. We got Dave on the line from Humboldt. Hello, Dave. Join us. It's Peter B., Rory, and Kyle.
Roy and Kyle, I think you're doing a wonderful thing. Myself and Alice and several of us up here have been studying a book entitled The Inside Job and also the works of David Ray Griffin, and the conclusions, if you connect the dots as a realist, lead you inevitable to say that the government is up to their neck in this. No way could Bin Laden have kept our Air Force on the ground for an hour and a half or whatever. No way could they have planted demolitions in the buildings.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah?
Let me just jump in here. Yesterday, you may have heard about this, a plane that was flying from London to Washington was diverted to Boston because of a woman who we were later told had claustrophobia. All right. Yeah. Now, we don't know the details. There was some sort of an incident in the sky that alarmed the crew enough that they diverted the plane to the nearest place to land. And two F-15s were scrambled to accompany that jet to Logan Airport in Boston.
Yeah.
And I only point that out because this was not nearly as threatening an event, and NORAD knew that. And NORAD was able to get two F-15s up for a claustrophobic passenger, but it was bupkis on 9/11. Go ahead.
Yeah, in a matter of minutes, they got those two F-15s up out of Otis Air Force Base in Massachusetts.
And if they had as many warnings as we had about 9/11, they should have had planes already in the air, and that was ready to scramble in less than a minute. And they travel at twice the speed of a rifle bullet.
Well, and that's a great point, Dave, which we hadn't gotten into. There were literally hundreds of what they call pre-attack threat assessments, or what we would call warnings, that poured in the weeks and months before the attack. And the NSA, the National Security Agency, alone issued dozens of warnings, and yet nothing was done.
What it is conclusive to me is our government has been stolen by psychopaths, and there's nothing beneath them. They are strictly, how do we use the people to accomplish what we want? Great wealth and power for us. We're here to be used. In extremes. So,
all right, Dave.
So,
thank you very much, Dave.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate
thank
the call.
You. Thank you,
call.
Dave.
Now, gentlemen, next I want to talk about the way the film 9/11 Press for Truth uses Paul Thompson's timeline, and this is a crucial document for trying to identify the exact sequence of events. And by creating the timeline, Thompson and others who contributed to it helped identify the anomalies or inaccuracies or shall we say, darker possibilities like, you know, lies and distortions, that sort of thing. How did the Jersey Girls use the timeline to monitor the real-time hearings of the 9/11 Commission? Kyle, you first.
Well, I think what happened at first is they did what Paul did. They would come across these articles as they would be spending time online, and they would print them out, and you know, eventually they were put into a three-ring binders with dividers and the different subject areas relating to different issues or different agencies, individuals responsible for different the response on 9/11 and so on. And in a way, what they did was what Paul did. They did their own timeline, and they, so they had this. You know, in the film you see like many of these three-ring binders that they put together on their own, and then of course, you know, Paul. Paul put together the timeline inspired by Michael Rupert's original 9/11 timeline, and it grew and grew and grew, and then when the family saw it, it was a place that obviously made their work in scrutinizing the commission or following along with the commission's work a lot easier. And so that, I mean, you can search entities, you can search dates, every single entry is sourced directly back. If the record is still there, if the story is still up online, to the original mainstream press account. And, you know, I would challenge anyone that doesn't think that there is a case for some funny business on 9/11, a case against the official story, to spend a half an hour with the timeline, Paul's timeline, and not conclude otherwise.
You can find that at cooperativeresearch.org. Rory?
Well, one of the most amazing things about the timeline, of course, is that it's completely open source. Every fact or every, article that is up there, as Kyle said, is referenced. So it's not that you have to take anyone's word for it. It's that Newsweek magazine reported on such and such a date the following. Frontline said this. The Times of India said that. So it's a global online resource of everything, or not everything, but many of the articles and much of the television coverage. So what Paul's timeline does that all of the other media really failed to do is to connect the dots. Many of them had a little piece here, a little piece there, but the Terror timeline is the only one that pulls it all together in real time, accessible at your fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'd like to add that we interviewed Ray McGovern, a former CIA analyst that used to prepare the presidential daily briefings, and he says in the film that because direct first-hand knowledge and experience that 80% of all intelligence that is put together by the agencies and the analysts in those agencies is open source. So, in other words, we can go a long way just with Paul's timeline to make the case that the government has lied to us and deceived us about what happened on September 11th.
There can be no doubt. And we can also make the case, which I hope that the film does, that the media was complicit. Whether willingly or by sheer laziness, inertia, stupidity, you know, take your pick. But the media was complicit with the administration, you know, going along. This has been amply documented. You know, Dan Rather saying that, people in the media such as he were afraid of being necklaced for being unpatriotic, as he told the BBC. So clearly there was a climate of intimidation that was put forth by the Bush administration, and the mainstream media in America and elsewhere just fell into line.
Well, and that's where Loose Change and some of the other documentaries, I think, have been very helpful in replaying the real-time footage from the live broadcasts on 9/11 that do not match the conclusions of the 9/11 Commission. So I think that there's a lot of information out there. The toughest part is for people to digest and process it. Rory, I want to come back to something you referenced earlier, the new book by Governor Kaine and Congressman Hamilton, who co-chaired the 9/11 Commission. They are raising some doubts about their own work. They've acknowledged that they weren't tough enough in questioning Mayor Giuliani of New York. But they're never going to recognize their complete and total failure to reveal the truth, will they?
No, they never will. They obviously have far too much invested in that. And frankly, you know, they were put in the position they were put in because of who they are and what they would do.
Yeah.
You know, given their track record, it's no surprise that they, you know, were acquiescent, that they arguably engaged in a cover-up or they didn't look too hard, because that was their job. That's why they were there.
Your film includes a clip from the toughest guy who was on the 9/11 commission, Max Cleland, who was hustled out of there faster than Who Shot Bob, because he needed a job. He was broke, and Bush appointed him to a $300,000 a year gig at the Export-Import Bank. And that was a real loss to the 9/11 Commission. Would you agree, Kyle?
Absolutely. I mean, he was very concerned about the direction the commission was going, and it's playing softball. The commission's playing softball with the White House, which kept foot dragging, and the commission kept compromising and cutting deals with the White House rather than simply subpoenaing the information, the data they needed. And they did that with NORAD, which lied to them and put forward, what, 7 different timelines in the last few years. You know, and he called it a scam. He called it a scam, and it was.
The other example that is just so vivid in the film is Condoleezza Rice running out the clock as Benveniste is trying very hard to ask some tough questions, and she just keeps filibustering, and it's very clear, real obvious, what she's doing. Gentlemen, we'll return in just a moment. Rory O'Connor and Kyle Hentz with us, co-producers of this new film, 911 Press for Truth. Visit the website 911pressfortruth.com to order your own DVD, and you can host a house party coming up in September to share this documentary with your friends. We'll continue in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wine, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Coming soon, Sundays 3 to 5.
I'm Jamie Wright of the San Francisco Giants, asking you to take a stand against violence. When a child is a victim or a witness of violence in their home, school, or community, an imprint is made that affects them deeply. They may have trouble sleeping, eating, learning, or trusting. These effects can last a lifetime, but with your help, children can heal. Don't participate in violence, and for everyone's sake, take a stand against violence. Learn to resolve your arguments respectfully. Our children are watching. Brought to you by the Giants Community Fund.
Let's take a look at your drive home in and around Monterey Bay. Our latest problem is in Gilroy. It's along Highway 25, just south of Bloomfield Avenue. It's an injury crash off to the right-hand shoulder. 2 vehicles are involved in CHP, not yet on the scene. Use extra caution. Also dealing with that problem on the Pacheco Pass, eastbound along Highway 152, before Dinosaur Point. This crash involves 6 vehicles, and they are still blocking the right-hand lane. As a result, traffic along eastbound 152 is backed up almost solid back to Highway 102. In Gilroy. And if you're in the Boulder Creek area, Kings Creek Road at Highway 9, a little problem with a big pile of tree debris that is blocking both lanes of traffic. Crews are headed out. This look at traffic brought to you by Advil Muscle Ache. You don't need different pain relievers for different pains. Wherever you hurt, Advil works. Advil, the everyday pain reliever. I'm Alex Daly, and that's traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 10 minutes away from the hour. We're trying to wake up everybody to seek the truth about 9/11. There's a powerful new documentary being released next month called 9/11 Press for Truth.
Wake up everybody, almost been in the heat. Fall back with thinking, thinking ahead. World has changed so very much, we're used to. There's so much hatred, war and poverty.
And we continue our conversation with Kyle Hentz and Rory O'Connor, the co-producers of this new documentary, 9/11 Press for Truth. And you are welcome to call us if you have a question or comment for these gentlemen. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B. And Matt just typed in a question on my screen here. I think it's a good one. Kyle, where's the name from the film come from?
Oh boy, we went back and forth for names for months, and in the end, the director Ray Novoselsky, you know, came up with the name Press for Truth, and sort of a double meaning, obviously, you know, the press and mm-hmm. the press for the truth, as in the verb, and it ended up our title. So yeah. It's not any big story behind it, really.
No focus groups, no
nope.
Market research.
No.
A lot of arguing in the edit room, though.
I'll bet. Kyle, I want to turn to you for a moment because we spoke 2 weeks ago when Vanity Fair first released its article with the online version that includes links to the audio tapes that have been edited out from the archives of NORAD on 9/11. NORAD is the North American Defense Command. It was intended to defend our airspace in conjunction with the civilian wing, the Federal Aviation Administration. And when we played back some of those tapes, it was shocking to hear the confusion, the concern that there were war games being played that day, and repeatedly when people were told that planes had been hijacked, even when they were told that a plane had been flown into a building, they said, is this real world, or is this some sort of a maneuver, a training session? And this becomes even more important when Governor Kaine has gone public, timed with the release of his book, saying that he doesn't believe what he's been told about the failure of NORAD on 9/11. So you published back on August 3rd a list of lingering questions that are prompted by the recent tapes and the narrative that went along with it. So briefly, if you would, summarize some of those key concerns that remain for you.
Yeah, I certainly will. But I would first like to just say that I think that a lot of the focus has been on NORAD, as well it should be, and their failure to produce to basically tell the truth about what happened. But I don't want to let the commission or the commissioners, the chair and the vice chair, off the hook here, because if they had a problem with what was they were being told and suspected they were being lied to or deceived or, you know, information was being withheld, then they should have taken action. They were charged with producing a definitive account.
You're right. When they published it, they said this is unanimous, and they tried to present it as if it had the blessing of every member of the commission, and no doubt, no questions remained.
And now, all of a sudden, this book is rolled out where there's growing scrutiny on their findings, and look, lo and behold, they're pointing the fingers at NORAD
mm-hmm.
and said it to themselves for not taking this to the Justice Department and saying there's a criminal case here. It should be examined. Instead, they kicked it up to the FAA, where it wallowed, nothing was done.
Mm-hmm.
As for the war games, there were multiple war games that morning. There was Operation Global Guardian, which is not talked about. This is a global war game, involved planes and preparations for nuclear attacks. There was Vigilant Guardian. There was Vigilant Warrior, which is mentioned in Richard Clark's book, Against All Enemies, Foreign and Domestic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And basically, what was these war games were not elucidated in the report. There was one mentioned as a footnote, Vigilant Guardian, but the synchronicity of the multiple war games was not detailed in the report.
and questions about who would have been responsible for setting up the war games on that date. One war game, which normally occurred in October, was moved back to September. And then the questions I raised mostly center around who would have been responsible for the war games that day.
Yeah.
Who would have been responsible for turning them off and saying, this is the war game is over, this is real world, and thereby clarifying the situation.
Mm-hmm. Very important questions, and they do need to be answered. Dave joins us from the Pinnacles. Good afternoon, Dave. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Rory O'Connor and Kyle Hintz.
Well, great guest, Peter. It's really just wonderful. You know, today I just got a letter from the Salinas Action League, you know, kind of a peace group down here.
Uh-huh.
I got this commending letter for this letter to the editor that I wrote, and I was invited to go see the showing of your film over in Monterey.
Oh, that's great.
Hey, what I'd like to say is I just had the acquaintance here a little while back, a few weeks ago, of this woman that had a Brooklyn accent, and one thing led to another. And lo and behold, she has a brother that was a fireman in New York and one that was a policeman.
Mm-hmm.
And neither one of them believe the 911 commission report, and they believe in the secondary explosion theory. And I'm just wondering, is there a ballpark figure on how many firemen and how many policemen don't believe this 911 commission report?
I don't know about that, but Kyle, you can cite the Zogby poll that shows a majority of New Yorkers don't believe it.
Yeah, I was involved in commissioning the first Zogby poll back in 2004, which found that 50% of New York City residents suspected that U.S. officials, consciously knew they were warned and they consciously failed to act, that they
mm-hmm.
effectively let it happen. But I would say that, in all likelihood, that probably is mirrored in the fire department and the New York Police Department.
Yeah. Gentlemen, we got about 2 minutes remaining, and I want to turn to a tough set of issues, and that is that the 9/11 truth movement has attracted some great minds and some people who are really working hard and diligently to seek the truth. And it's also, attracted some fringies. Kyle, you and I spoke a couple of months back about the New York Times coverage of the gathering in Chicago, and they wrote it up like it was a Star Trek convention. And how do we operate in a way that's consistent with our tolerance values that also excludes the extreme, the paranoid, and those who are frankly way off base? Let me start with you, Rory.
Well, you know, I think that what this film is going to do to anybody who watches it is, first, they're going to cry, and secondly, they're going to get angry. And I hope there'll be a third thing, which is that they'll be moved to action. You know, Bob McElvain, who lost his son, says at the end of the film, in tears, "I'm so pissed off. I'm so pissed off at the American government, and I'm so pissed off at the American people for letting this happen." Well, the government we can forget about, but this is a second chance for the American people to make it right for the victims and for their families. So what I would say is more people have to get involved, more people have to raise questions, and let the chips fall where they may.
Kyle, about 20 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when it comes to sort of sifting through all this, you've got to apply standards of evidence and focus on where the case is strong, where the facts are proven out from multiple sources, and build a case there against the official story and for a new investigation. That's the bottom line, and
yeah.
I think with a new Congress, maybe we can have a new investigation.
Kyle, Rory, thank you for a powerful film. I recommend it, 9/11 Press for Truth. Go to the website, 911 Press, F-O-R, Truth. .org, and you can order the DVD.
.com, Peter, excuse me.
Oh, thank you. .com. Appreciate the correction. Talk to you later, Rory and Kyle.
We appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
My pleasure. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B.
The program you have just enjoyed is a previously recorded broadcast.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. What can you do at the beach in a storm? This couple in Ocean City, Maryland is going to make the best of it.
We just got engaged yesterday. We're not going to let this weather stop us from having fun.
We're going to stay at the hotel and eat at the restaurant and...
Happy hour.
Tropical Depression Ernesto has brought strong wind and torrential rain to the mid-Atlantic region. Roads are flooded, and in Virginia, lots of people will spend the night in the dark.
We still have about 318,000 customers without power.
Utility spokesman Dan Genest.
It was branches coming down on lines. It was trees coming down on lines. We've had a few poles. We had some poles that were broken. It was the gamut of things that you see with a tropical storm.
And the flooding, he says, has hampered repair efforts. Mexico's Baja California Peninsula is in the path of a full-blown hurricane. John has top winds of 110 miles per hour.
The head of Baja's Civil Protection Agency says the situation is grave in Cabo San Lucas.
Es una situación grave, Es una situación muy seria.
Jose Gajon is in La Paz, the state capital. He says the highway to Cabo will likely be the first thing to go.
Es lo primero que se destroza.
More than 1,000 soldiers are in the area, and more could be brought in, says the official, who added, to get through this, we are going to need God's help. Adrian Bard, CBS News, Mexico City.
In the Mexican capital... A political storm, as outgoing President Vicente Fox was about to deliver his final State of the Nation address to Congress, leftist lawmakers stormed the stage and prevented him from speaking. Fox submitted the text and said he'll deliver the speech on television later this evening. In a new report to Congress, the Pentagon offers a grim assessment of the situation in Iraq. CBS News reporter Tom Foti has details.
The Iraq picture the Pentagon is painting for Congress now is different from the picture that has been painted before. In the fifth of a series of quarterly reports, the Defense Department concedes the major cause of violence in Iraq now is not an insurgency, but increasingly bloody attacks and counterattacks by Shiite and Sunni Muslims, killing each other in growing numbers. The Pentagon report says illegal militias have become more entrenched, especially in Baghdad, and death squads targeting mainly Iraqi civilians are seen as a growing problem, heightening the risk of civil war. Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
The IRS let $318 million fall through the cracks this